the innermost island, Jambudvipa, its nine divisions, which are known as nine varsha, specifically about Ilavurtha Varsha, which is innermost varsha, and then Bharata Varsha. Within Bharata Varsha, there are nine divisions. The ninth division is known as further as Bharata Varsha or Bharatakanda, Kumaragatvipa, Sudarshanadvipa, something about that. And then we have seen about the earth globe being spherical, had a connection to some of the Shlokas of Bhagavatam or Sankalpa Mantra, etc. This is what we discussed yesterday. That is basically from chapter 1, chapter 16, chapter 17, first half, and chapter 19, maybe a couple of verses. So now we will be discussing from chapter 20, wherein the first part of chapter 20 talks about the description of other six islands of Bhumandala with their mountains and rivers. Because out of seven islands which were created by Prihvata Maharaj, only one was discussed from 16 to 19. The chapter 20 talks about the remaining. So wherever the readings are there, somewhere in the bracket you see the shlokas, the section which you are discussing. So kindly make a note of it, or just so that you will not miss where we are discussing, what we are discussing. So this is what we discussed today. The seven islands are being separated by seven oceans which were created by Prihvata Maharaj. So in couple of shlokas, this 20th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami talks about what is the nature of people who are living there, what are their characteristics, all the details in summary. The first five dvipas, in the first five dvipas there are seven varshas. Just like in Jambudvipa, there are nine varshas. In the remaining, the subsequent five dvipas, dvipa 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there are seven varshas. The last dvipa, the seventh dvipa, there are only two varshas. These varshas are named after the names of their sons. Just like Agnidra named the nine varshas with the names of his nine sons, and the other younger brothers of Agnidra, they named the respective varshas with the names of their sons, and he gave them to rule accordingly after his rule. Thus, there are seven mountains which will be dividing this one island into seven varshas, because varsha is basically land between two mountains. So in a concentric circle, there are six, seven mountains that will divide into seven parts. From each river, there is one. From each mountain, one river is originating and spreading water throughout that land. That's why there are seven rivers coming from the seven mountains and going all over the land. In the last varsha, there is only one mountain dividing that one land into two parts, and there are two rivers coming from the same mountain. One is going on the upper side of the land, one is going on the lower side of the land. And all these places were beautifully decorated with different variety of hermitages wherein they reside, all the people who are of this place, they reside. There are enormous lakes filled with flowers and chirping birds. They enjoy in the association of all these things. Just by touching and bathing in these lakes and rivers, the people who are living in this area, they immediately become purified. So there are four castes of people who are living in this place. They are almost similar to our Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but they are called with different names, not exactly the same names. And then, just like in Jambudvipa, all the residents worship the Supreme Lord in his various forms, various avatars. Similarly, these people, they worship the Supreme Lord in his different forms, in his vibhuti forms. Somewhere they worship him as sun, in the form of sun, somewhere they worship him in the form of moon, somewhere in the form of agni, etc. In vibhuti form they worship. And these people live for 1,000 and more years, just like in Jambudvipa, 8 varshas, they live for 10,000 years. Here they live for 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, like that, different places. Details are not given in Bhagavatam, but they live for minimum 1,000 years and more. They have forms as beautiful as devatas, with strength of 1,000 elephants, and they produce offsprings as devatas do, like today we have seen. In the last year only they give birth to children, etc. And longevity, sensory prowess, physical and mental strength, intelligence and bravery, all these the specific qualities will manifest each and every person whoever takes birth in any of these particular islands. So everyone who are born in these villages, they will be naturally have all these things. Natural and equally manifest in all people. So Srila Prabhupada says in one of the purports, so though they may use all these wonderful facilities, they may be born with all these wonderful qualities, but they never forget their position as eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. If we, the human beings, supposed to get all these facilities, we think we are the creator, we are the enjoyer, we are the maintainer. So that difference is there, like the Prabhupada shows. This is a quick summary of Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa gets its name by the presence of Jambu tree on one of the four mountains, whose breadth and height are very enormous. And there are 9 varshas and there are 9 mountains, including Mount Meru, in Jambudvipa. And within Jambudvipa, out of 9 varshas, Bharata Varsha is called as field of fruitive activities. Other 8 varshas are called as heavenly places on earth. And there are 4 kind of people are living in all over Bharata Jambudvipa. Especially in Bharata Varsha, we call them as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And people live for 10,000 years in the 8 varshas. And in Bharata Varsha, they live for a variety of time periods as per Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. By performing bhakti in Bharata Varsha, people will attain to Vaikuntha. This is also special quality of Jambudvipa. This Jambudvipa is surrounded by the first ocean, which is filled with salt water. Surrounding the salt water ocean is Plakshadvipa, the second island. This Plakshadvipa gets its name by the presence of a Plaksha tree, which is shining like gold. This Plaksha tree is shining like gold. It is also as tall as Jambu tree and as big as Jambu tree. Its breadth is also 100 yojanas, height is 1100 yojanas. Its branches also spread to a radius of 1100 yojanas, similar to the Jambu tree. At its roots, at the root of this Plaksha tree, there is a fire with 7 flames which gives light all over. And just like in Jambudvipa, there are 9 mountains. Here there are 7 mountains which divide this one island into 7 varshas. And from these 7 mountains, the 7 rivers come and flow through the 7 respectful lands and give them water. There are 4 kinds of people living here, 4 castes of people. And all the names are there in the shlokas. I have not put the names. The shlokas of the 20th chapter are all names only. The 7 mountain names are there. The 7 river names are there. The 7 sons names are there. The 4 castes of people, their names are there. So all of them are there. I have not included them here, but you can refer to it. And they live for 1000 years and more. By performing Vedic rituals, they attain to sun. In the sense, they worship the Supreme Lord in the form of his vibhuti, known as sun. We worship him, na? Surya Narayana. People worship every day, morning, afternoon, evening by offering Gayatri Mantra. So it's like that. And so by performing Vedic rituals, they attain sun. Instead of going ahead, I don't have a slide for this shloka because these slides are prepared for everyone. So you can open. What is the prayer they offer to the sun god? The prayer they offer to sun god. Same chapter 20, maybe verse number 5 or 6. This is a small verse among the set of verses. You can clearly identify what is the prayer offered to them. So this is verse number 5. Pranatasya Vishnu Rupam Yat Satyasya Vrutasya Brahmana Amrutasya Cha Murtyosya Suryam Atmanam Imahiti. Somebody can read the translation.
This is the mantra by which the inhabitants of Lakshadvipa was
talking about. Let us take shelter of the sun god, who is a reflection of Lord Vishnu, the all-expanding Supreme Personality of God, the oldest of all persons. Vishnu is the only worshipable Lord. He is the Vedas, he is religion, and he is the origin of the all auspicious and inauspicious results.
Yeah. Especially if you go through this parapat and the previous verses parapat. These are the two parapats which are very wrong in this chapter. Prabhupada talks that these people are not worshipping devatas, or worshipping devatas is not recommended. Prabhupada talks about demigod worship is not at all acceptable. With that theme, he elaborately speaks on this parapat and the previous parapat. Basically, here they are not worshipping the devatas. They are worshipping this devata form as the vibhuti of the Supreme Lord, or as a representative of the Supreme Lord. So they say that pranatasya Vishnu rupam. So they are clearly saying that you are non-different, you are a form of Vishnu. And satyatsya and artasya brahmana. So who is a form of Vishnu? You are like oldest person, the presentity of dharma and knowledge. Amrutasya mrutyoscha suryam atmanam imahiti. So you are the form of Vedas, you are the form of auspicious and inauspicious results. So basically they are telling that, so you, the one who is the form of Vedas, you are also the one who gives us the rules and regulations of dharma. You are also the one who gives us auspicious and inauspicious results of our various activities. So indirectly they are offering this prayer to the Supreme Lord, keeping sun as a medium, via medium, and telling that whatever activities you may perform in this world, make them auspicious and make them reach the Supreme Personality of God. In that way they are praying. So by performing different kind of Vedic rituals, they attain sun, eventually they go back to God. Like that in second chapter, the attached yogi, the Kramamukta, how he goes step by step ahead, somewhat similar we can say here. So this Prakshadvipa is also surrounded by a notion of sugarcane juice. So this around sugarcane juice is the third island, that is Salmalit Dvipa. This also gets its name by the presence of a salmonella tree, which is as broad and tall as Plaksha tree. Its breadth and height are 100 yojanas and 1100 yojanas. This is considered to be the residence of Garuda. Garuda is a huge bird, the Vahana of Lord Vishnu. So whenever he would visit this land, this particular land, he would rest on this particular tree. So here also there are seven mountains which divide this land into seven varshas, and seven rivers origin from the seven mountains. Four kind of people, they live for 1000 and more years. By following Varnashrama Dharma, they worship moon. They worship the Supreme Lord in his form known as moon, and they follow Varnashrama Dharma. If you see any Puranic stories, any stories from Ramayana wherein Dharmartha Kama Moksha is highly glorified, so most of their goal is like going back to Swarga. Attaining Swarga is considered to be kind of their goal. Many places, Karma Yoga, that is kind of given importance. So their basis is Varnashrama Dharma, goal is going to Swarga. So moon is also Swarga. So keeping that in mind, they are praying this prayer. You can see the prayer given in verse number 12. All of us can recite together. Swagopi Pitru Devabhyo Vibhajan Krishna Shuklayo Prajanam Sarvasam Raja Andaso Mona Asti.
The inhabitants of Sarvasam
Deva worship the demigod of the moon in the following words. By his own rays, the moon god has divided the month into two fortnights, known as Shukla and Krishna. For the distribution of food grains to the pitas and the demigods. The demigod of the moon is he who divides time, and he is the king of all residents of the universe. We therefore pray that he may remain our king and guide, and we offer him our respectful obeisances.
Yeah. Swago bi, by his own rays, by his own reflection of moon rays, he creates Pitu Devabhyo Vibhajan Krishna Shuklayo. He creates day and night for devatas and pitrus. This we will discuss in the tomorrow's presentation. It will clearly explain there. By his own rays, he creates day and night for Pitrus and Devatas. And he also creates Prajanam Sarvasham Raja. He also creates food for all living entities. By moon only we are able to get food. Yes? Bhagavad Gita shlokas are there. So, because of moon rays, all the vegetables are nourished and we get juice of food grains. So, Kanda Somo Na Asturi. So, basically, he is showing that become favorable to us and allow us to come to your planet. Basically, Moonlight is considered to be a heavenly planet. They want to go there and I go ahead further, etc. And this particular land, Salmala Dvipa, is surrounded by ocean of liquor, Surasagara. This is not the liquor which we see here. This is the liquor of heavenly abodes. The next island surrounded by this liquor ocean is Kushadvipa. This Kushadvipa gets its name by the presence of Kushagras. It was created by Devatas, which is spread all over this land. By Lord's will, this Kushagras emits a second form of fire, which produces mild and pleasing flames. The shoots of this Kushagras emits pleasing rays or pleasing flames that spreads light all over the land. This illuminates all directions, the glow of tender shoots. There are seven mountains, seven varshas and seven rivers, four kinds of people. And these people, they are expert in Vedic sacrifices and worship the Supreme Lord in his form known as Agni. Basically, they are performing Yajna day by day. In the form of Agni, they are worshipping the Supreme Personality of God. The prayer recited by them is in verse number 17. Parasya Brahmana Sakshat,
Parasya Brahmana Sakshat,
Jata Vedo Si Havyavat,
Jata Vedo Si Havyavat,
Devanam Purushanganam,
Devanam Purushanganam,
Yajnena Purusham Yajeti,
Yajnena Purusham Yajeti.
This is the mantra by which the inhabitants of Kushadvipa worship the fire god. O fire god, you are a part of the Supreme Personality of God, Hari, and you carry to him all the offerings of sacrifices. Therefore, we request you to offer to the Supreme Personality of God the ethnic ingredients we are offering the demigods. For the Lord is the real enjoyer.
Here Jataveda, the second one, Jataveda means Agni. Jataveda means the one who is born from the Vedas. Jataveda, he takes birth from the Vedas. Actually, it is said there are many places in the previous ages. By reciting mantras, they would ignite fire. That's why it's called Jataveda. If at all you see, whenever there is a deity installation ceremony, the priest will be reciting so many mantras. Many places Jataveda, Jataveda comes. That is actually referring to Agni. So here they are telling that Parasya Brahmana Sakshat. The Supreme Brahman is para, is superior to all of us. And you are Sakshat, a representative of that Brahman. It is considered in Virat Rupa, Agni is considered to be the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Havyavat, in the form of Havya, Havya means those ingredients which are offered into the sacrificial fire. So, whatever we offer in the form of the sacrificial ingredients into the Havya, into the fire, that sacrificial arena, in the name of Deva, Devatas, by chanting Deva, Deva's names, Idam Agneya Swaha, Idam Namama, Idam Indraya Swaha, Idam Namama, Idam Chandraya Swaha, Idam Namama. In the name of chanting the names of different Devatas, we may be offering them to the Agni, Havya. But all these Devatas are Purushanganam. They are different bodily limbs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Virat Rupa, Virat Purusha. So, please accept all those oblations we may offer into you, into Agni, consider them to be Havya as fire oblations. Take all of them, though we may be offering in the name of different Devatas, but give them to the master of all the Devatas, the source of all the Devatas. That is, Yajnena Purusham Yajeti. So you worship the Purusha, the Param Purusha, accepting all these ingredients. So this is how they are worshipping the Agni. Though they are worshipping Agni, but they are actually worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead indirectly. So next, it is said that this Kushadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of liquid ghee. Grutoga. If ghee is melted, how it look like? That is liquid ghee. This liquid ghee is surrounded by a next dvipa, that is Kramchadvipa. Kramchadvipa gets its name by the presence of a mountain which is known as Kramcha Mountain. So, which was fearless from the weapons of Kartikeya. This is what mentioned in the Shloka of Bhagavatam. There could be some kind of past time connected to it. So, this is surrounded by milk ocean and protected by Varuna. There are seven varshas, seven mountains and seven rivers in this land. There are four kinds of people are living here. They worship the Supreme Lord by offering a palm full of water at Varuna's lotus feet. They go to the milk ocean. They take water from the ocean or the rivers, whichever they have. That is, river water or ocean water is expansion of Varuna only. So they take some water and offer back to that ocean or that river. Simple thing. Worship is not complicated. Their worship is very simple. They are worshipping Lord Varuna as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And their prayer is, they offer a prayer at the lotus feet of Varuna. This is verse number 23.
O water of the rivers, you have obtained energy from the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, you purify the three planetary systems known as Bhuloka, Vorloka and Swarloka. By your constitutional nature, you take away sins, and that is why we are cursing you. Kindly continue to purify us.
Yeah. Apa means water, Bhumira Ponalavaya. So Varuna's physical form is in the form of water. So here, at least, I mean, Arunā is appearing in the form of water, ocean water, river water here. Purusha Viryasta. This Varuna is embodied with the potency of the Purusha. Purusha Viryasta. Sta means situated. He is situated with the ability of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is that ability? Punantir Bhur Bhuvasvaha. Purification of three planetary system. Only water can purify three planetary system. For example, Mother Ganga is called Three Loka Pavani. That one who purifies three planetary system. Yesterday we have seen it was coming from the top of the universe, travelling from all the way from Satyaloka, coming to Dhruvaloka, then coming to Mount Meru, coming down. Like that, eventually it went all the way up to Patala Loka. So it is travelling in the Sargaloka, travelling in the Goraloka, and travelling into Bhuloka and then entering into Bilaswarga also. It is there everywhere. Similarly, other forms of water also there everywhere. The nature of water is to purify. When our clothes become contaminated, we purify in the water only. So Punanti, the energy of purifying, it is actually belongs to Supreme Lord. Lord has given to you. It is not that Varuna's own energy. Tanna Punitami Vagni. Kindly purify us also. They are telling us Tana. So just the way you are purifying three planetary systems, you also purify us. Because now and then we keep coming and taking bath in your waters and taking water and touching that water and offering back to you. Just by touching your water, so we should become purified. But if we are touching your water, so kindly purify us in that way they are doing. Krishatam Atmana Bhuvayati. So kindly purify us who are constantly touching your water. Like that they are praying. So this particular Kramchadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of milk ocean. And milk ocean is surrounded by six islands that is called Shaka Dvipa. So in this Dvipa there is Shaka tree, because of which this land gets its name Shaka Dvipa. This is very fragrant. It lends its scent to the entire island. The entire island is fragranted by this particular plant. So there are seven varshas, seven mountains and seven rivers, four kinds of people. And these people who are living in this four kinds of people living in Shaka Dvipa, they practice mystic yoga or Ashtanga yoga and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in trance, in samadhi by meditating on Vayu. By meditating, Lord Swami as Vayu. And they offer also one wonderful prayer to Vayu. This is verse number 28. Antapravishya Bhutani Yobi Bharati Atma Ketubi
Yobi Bharati Atma Ketubi
Antaryamishwara Sakshat
Antaryamishwara Sakshat
Patuno Yadvashe Sputam
Patuno Yadvashe Sputam.
O Supreme Person, situated as a super soul within the body, you direct the various actions of different aids, such as prana, and thus you maintain all living entities. O Lord, O super soul of everyone, O controller of the cosmic manifestation under whom everything exists, may you protect us from all dangers.
Anta pravishya bhutani, because we see air is all pervading, it is there everywhere. It is there outside of us, it is there inside of us also. Antapravesha Bhutani Yogibharati Atma Ketubi. And he is not only entering within us, he is actually maintaining all of us in the form of Pranavayu. Without Pranavayu, we cannot sustain. So having entered within us, Pranavayu is sustaining all of us. Antaryamaishwara Sakshat. So just like Paramatma resides within our heart, you also reside within our body. So maintaining all of us. So similarly, Patuno Yad Vashe Sputam. So it is explained in the third canto, I think. There are 10 kinds of pranas. Prana, pana, samana, udana, vyana, etc. So these air within us divides into 10 pranas. So it is basically that just like Supreme Lord enters into our body itself, Paramatma, you also enter into us and remain as 10 pranas and maintain our body. Just like Supreme Personality of God maintains us, you kindly they are offering to Supreme Lord and as well as air also both simultaneously. So please maintain us by controlling our pranas, 10 pranas, and also. So and also give us perfection of our life. Yad Vashe Sputam. So just like the universe has been created by you, so similarly, you help us to get out of this universal situation, in a sense, this materialistic condition that they are praying like that. So basically they are performing Ashtanga Yoga and they are worshipping the Supreme Lord in the form of Vayu. And this particular Shaka Dvipa is surrounded by an ocean filled with yogurt. And
regarding these other
verses,
this one is not
given as
the size of the tree.
You can, other places size can be of same size. Some places it is not mentioned. It could be same as Jambu tree. You can take Jambu tree size. The seventh one is Prakshadvipa. This Prakshadvipa is filled with so many lotus flowers. Among them, one lotus flower, which is very big in size, which is made up of 100 million pure golden lotus petals. Not a small flower, big one. And it is as effulgent as the flames of fire. So this is considered to be the sitting place of Lord Brahma. Whenever Lord Brahma comes to this particular land, Lord Brahma resides or lives on top of this lotus flower. One interesting connection is that all over India or all over Earth globe, if you see nowhere Brahmaji is worshipped in his personal form. Only one place, Pushkara. And here this is Pushkar Dipa, in which the lotus flower is considered to be the sitting place of Lord Brahma. Some connection we can remember. Pushkar Brahmaji is worshipped and Pushkar Dipa is sitting place is there. That's it. That I don't know. One Pushkar, that only I heard. So there is one mountain which is known as Manasutra Mountain, which is divided in this entire land into two divisions. There are two varshas, and there are four kinds of people are living in this place. And because Brahmaji is sitting in this land, they worship the Supreme Lord as Brahma by performing various kinds of ritualistic ceremonies. So this is how they worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Brahma. This is verse number 33.
Yattat karma mayam lingam
ब्रह्मलिंगं जनोर्चयेत् एकांतं अद्वयं शांतं तस्मै भगवते नमः इति.
Lord Brahma is known as Karma Maya, the form of ritualistic ceremonies. Because by performing ritualistic ceremonies, one may attain his position, and because the Vedic ritualistic things become manifest from him. He is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead without deviation, and therefore in one sense he is not different from the Lord. Nevertheless, he should be worshipped not as a monist worshipping, but in duality. One should always remain a servant of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Worshipable Deity. We therefore offer our respectful obeisance to Lord Brahma, the form of manifest Vedic knowledge.
So, Tasmai Bhagavate Namayati. We offer respectful obeisance to Lord Brahma, who is the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Yattat Karma Mayam Lingam. Brahma is considered to be the form of karma. So it is said in the fourth canto, Rudra Gita, you remember Lord Shiva says that in that particular place. So, Swadharma Nishta Shatidharma Vipuman Virinchitam Yeti Tata Paramimam. This is 24th chapter, 29th shloka. Of course, you don't have to open and see. So basically, he is saying that Shatajanma Vipuman Virinchitam Yeti. If one, a person performs Varnashadharma properly for 100 lifetimes, he can become Brahma. If a person executes Varnashram Dharma for more lifetimes, he can attain Shiva Loka. That's what Lord Shiva says. Tata Paramhimam. So, Shatajanma Vipuman Virinjitam Yeti Tata Paramhimam. He will attain my planet, like that Lord Shiva is talking to Prachitas. So, basically here it is said that Lord Brahma is considered to be the form of karma or form of service. Because karma mayam lingam, his form is made up of karma. Because he is like kind of, he is an acharya, not acharya, sometimes people say that he is the best of karma mishra bhakta, something like, I heard sometimes, I don't know whether it is, So basically, so Brahmaji is do that, putting everyone into action. We see in the 12th chapter of Third Canto, he is asking everyone to get children, get into family life, and he is making everyone to perform karma yoga, etc. So, Brahmalingam Janor Chayat. He is also form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahmalingam. Ekantam Advayam Shantam. He is non-different from Brahma, he is peaceful and he is always engaged in the Supreme Personality of Godhead service. And Tasmai Bhagavate Namaiti. Thus, you are non-different from the Supreme Lord. So, we are worshipping the Supreme Lord in the form of Brahma. So, please accept our service like that. They are worshipping Lord Brahma. So, surrounding this Lakshadweepa is the seventh ocean, that is known as sweet drinking water or Shuddhodaka ocean, Shuddhodaka Samudra. Then, in couple of shlokas, Bhagavatam talks about Manasutra mountain also. So, Manasutra mountain is situated exactly in the middle of Pushkara Dweepa. Its breadth and height are 10,000 yojanas. Its radius from the center of Mount Meru, just for, because this number will be, we'll be using this number again and again in our entire presentation. 15.75 million yojanas from the center of Mount Meru. How it came also we will see in the next one of the tables. And four directions of its top, on top of this mountain, in east, west, north, south, there are the townships of four devatas, Lokapalas. In the east, the township of Indra, in the south, township of Yama, in the west, the township of Varuna, in the north, the township of Soma is there. And Sun God travels in his chariot above this mountain. Sun is not stationary. Yesterday we have seen sun is keep moving and Prirodh Maharaj keep following him. As we hear in our school text, sun is not stationary as per Bhagavatam. He is keep moving. So where he is moving, the hint is given here. He is moving just above this Manasutra mountain, making Manasutra mountain as his orbit. So encircling Mount Sumeru in an orbit known as Samvatsara. The orbit of the sun is called as Samvatsara. Literal meaning of Samvatsara means 1 year. He will be travelling in that orbit every day till the end of year. So, now we will see some images. This is the whole division of seven islands. It's seven oceans. It is said in the seventh island, in the middle there is one mountain. That is known as Manasutra mountain. Previously it was one island. By the presence of this one mountain, it became two parts. Yes, you are able to make it?
Yeah.
This is the mountain, this is one land, this is one land. This is one varsha, this is the other varsha. So these two varshas were given to two sons of the seventh son of Priyavrata Maharaj. And there are seven mountains in the remaining six islands. Here there are seven, here there are seven, here there are seven, here there are seven, like that. In, as you go inside, there are seven mountains. Able to see?
Mm-hmm. Is it coincidence or something like that?
Huh?
Is he divided seven parts earlier or
because
of Psalm 7, like, was coincidence, something like that?
I'm sorry. Who divided? Why division came? We don't know. Division happened, we are studying. Division is like that.
Seven sons,
not coincidence, it's Lord's will. Okay. So, this is the sitting place of Brahma, the seventh island. The sixth island, it gets its name because of the Shaka tree. The fifth island, Krauncha mountain came?
No.
The Krauncha mountain, by the presence of Krauncha mountain it came. So the two rivers originating from the seventh Dvipa mountain, spreading water in that entire land. It is not shown toward the land, but like indicative. One river originating from this mountain and going this side of the upper part of the Varsha. This is going inner part of the Varsha, like this. And other places, the seven rivers originating from seven mountains and giving water to the entire respective land. So this is how it is explained in the Bhagavatam. We little zoom in. So little inside if you go, same thing. This is Shaka tree, this is Krauncha mountain, this is Kusha grass, this is Salmila tree. Now these are the seven rivers originating from seven mountains. And then if you go little zoom in further, this is Salmila tree, which is the residence of Garudji. This is Plaksha tree, this is Jambu tree. We have discussed about Jambu tree yesterday. These are seven rivers coming and travelling all over the respective lands. So this part is clear. It makes sense, whatever is spoken in the Bhagavatam through these images. Any doubts? Nice to take microphone and go ahead.
But yesterday the Ganga actually has not to the descendant Ganga. First time when tossed Brahmananda to the lotus feet toss, that time the Ganga flows. It continues to flow. Then in the Bhagavati part when he just wanted to descend the Ganga, where it was? It was in metal wall, it was in like that.
Ganga is said to be Rupantarena Vahati. Some places it flows in a physically appearing form, Rupa. Some form is seen, in some form, water form is seen. Some places it flows in invisible form, Antarena. Without being seen by us, it keeps flowing. So it seems that it was not flowing to the land of Bharata Varsha at the time of Sagara Maharaj. So that's why Bhagirath Maharaj, Dilipa, Amshuman performed austerities to bring that Ganga and flow through the Bharata Varsha all the way up to Patala Lok and deliver their forefathers.
But just for clarification, I heard that when Ganga actually flow from this top of the bound there, the Brahma actually was in the he just hold the Ganga water. So that is Brahman Loka or is he in the...
No, that is Satyaloka.
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 Then after the Bhagirathi Parpana Tapasya, then Ganga descend from the Satyaloka to...
No, not Satyaloka. Ganga was there all the way up to Himalayas. From Himalayas, it came down to the Bharata Varsha. It flowed through Bharata Varsha and then entered into Patala Loka. Only from Himalayas it came down by the worship of Bhagirath Maharaj. It was there, as it is explained in the Bhagavatam, it is there all over. Even if you see, that's what we showed, na? Even in Devaprayag, that Alakananda is there. After Devaprayag, where is Alakananda?
Devaprayag.
Afterwards, where is that? If Bhagirathi is not there. So it seems before that also, that Alakananda is not there after Devaprayag. Just like Saraswati also somewhere, you can see in the Himalayas, you go to Himalayas, you see Saraswati for some time. Afterwards it will disappear, something like that.
And the Sagar son, there is in Ganga Sagar area, they actually get liberated or go in the in the
Patal Lok.
So Kapilashram is in Ganga Sagar. No?
Actual ashram is in Patal Lok, not in Ganga Sagar. Because we cannot go to Ganga Sagar, it is said in Patal Lok. Actually, we cannot go to Patal Lok. A replica of that is, a prototype of that is put in Ganga Sagar. Why Haridwar is called Haridwar?
He achieved Hari from there.
It is Dwar for Hari.
Yeah.
So those previous days, whoever want to go to the Supreme Lord, they will go to Prague, Dishamuttara, they will go to northern side. So once they cross the entrance of Haridwar, that means when they go, they go, they will not come back. Once you go beyond Haridwar, you should not come back. That is the rule. So Haridwar is, there is the entrance for the Vaikuntha. So, I mean to say that is not the actual entrance of Vaikuntha. But we cannot see the actual entrance of Vaikuntha. Say, prototype of that is here in Haridwar. So, same way here.
So, all the river you are flowing is all the others on different equal to Ganga.
They are also purifying. They have different names. We have so many rivers, na Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, Kaveri, Tungabhadra. So many rivers. Mahanandi, filled with Mahanandi, Orissa. Okay, then. All rivers are purifying. All rivers are purifying.
Right. So in the beginning, second slide you show, in Jambudvipa, that Bharat Varsha, other 9 verses, sorry,
other eight verses
have a description of the living entity. But in also in Bharat Varsha there are 9 khandas, as you say. Other 8 khandas also have some different than this Bharat Khanda.
Maybe.
So I don't understand what is this other 8 verses and this 8 khandas. What is Bharat Varsha, Bharat Khanda and this? So
no.
The difference.
The 8 khandas of Bharat Varsha may be having similar properties of Bharat Khanda. They may not be like other 8 verses.
But you write in like that Bhu Sorgo. So
that is only 8 verses.
8 verses.
8 verses. That Ilavurta Varsha, Kimpurusha Varsha, Hari Varsha,
8 verses.
Ketumala Varsha, Vadrasha Varsha, Uttarakuru Varsha.
Not 8 khandas.
Not 8 khandas.
Okay.
They are almost similar to Bharata Khanda.
8 khandas,
8 islands of the Bharata Varsha, remaining 8 islands of Bharata Varsha.
Prevara
did not create it. Their 9 mountains are acting as a natural boundaries for the division. They don't have to create, just like the Himalayas are acting as a natural boundary for India and China. Who created Himalayas? Supreme Lord created. So like that, these mountains also must have been created by Supreme Lord.
Or
Brahmaji created.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, among 7 oceans, 1 ocean is milk ocean.
Yes.
So is this the same Chirasagar where Lord Chiru the Sai Vishnu?
No, this is not the same. Most probably this is the ocean where Samudra Manthan Pasan took place. But this is not the abode of Lord Chiru the Sai Vishnu. That is different. That is there in our presentation. Don't worry.
Okay. And then again, when this Lord Varahadev, he rescues Mother Earth.
Mother Earth.
That was the question. So, entire Bhumandal fell down. Or?
Okay. Wait. Hold on for half an hour. We'll discuss next session with about that one.
Projects for Biswa Chakravarti commentary. The Ganga not flowing in Kimpurusha Varsha, Hari Varsha and Brahmek Varsha, Hiranyavala Varsha. It skips peak of the mountain to mountain, that is flow in Bharata Varsha and Kuru Varsha.
Yes. But when they jump from here to there, some water falls down or some water goes down also. So to indicate this continuous flow, that in other portions, if you refer to other Acharya's commentary, the big book is there, na? 15 Acharya's commentary of the 5th canto. Written by Dandri Goswami Maharaj in that other Acharya section. It is not that more maximum water goes into the next mountain, some quantity of water also goes down. That is spreading the intermittent land.
Today's first slide, 6 deep or something.
There is nothing. What is the, what kind of people who are living there in that area, their nature, their properties, that's what is explained. Basically, in the 6 islands, there are 7 varshas and 7 mountains. We have gone through one by one. The island number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In the 5 islands, there are 7 varshas and 7 mountains. In Jambudipa, there are 9 mountains and 9 varshas. In the last varsha, last dipa, that is Pushkar dipa, there is 1 mountain and 2 varshas. And there will be 7 rivers originating from these 7 mountains and spreading water in the respective land. And there are, here you see, here also it is there. In the last one, there is 1 mountain from which 2 rivers are there. The 2 rivers are spreading water to the 2 lands. And then the people who live here are like devatas. Just like devatas, yesterday we discussed the 8 varshas, they are like Bauma Swarga. Even these 6 islands are also Bauma Swarga. They live for 1000, 5000, 10000, 20000 years. And they produce children only in their last year, just like devatas produce children. And their houses are like beautiful hermitages. They have beautiful lakes, gardens, wonderful flower bearing, fruit bearing trees, chirping birds, everything. Pleasing atmosphere they have. That's all. That much. Only mentioning 2 shlokas. Shloka number 1 and shloka number 4, somewhere it is there. Shloka number 6.
Well, the Ganga flowing in the Patali, same name Ganga, from the other name.
Ganga only. In the Swargaloka it is called Akash Ganga. In Bhumandala it is called Mandakini, Arakananda, Arganga. In lower planets it is called Bhogavati. So this is a summary of what we discussed. The 7 islands, the 7 oceans, and the 7 sons to whom the 7 islands are given. Agnidra, Igmajiva, Ignabahu and all the way. And they in turn gave them to their respective sons. Agnidra gave to 9 sons because there are 9 divisions. And these 5 people gave it to their respective 7 sons because there are 7 divisions in each land. The last person gave it to his 2 sons because there are only 2 divisions. And these people are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The 9 deities are worshipped in 9 varshas. And here they are worshipping the Supreme Lord as Sun, Moon, Agni, Varuna, Vayu, Brahma, etc. And these islands are getting their name by the presence of a special thing in their particular, special living entity in their particular land. Jambu tree or Laksha tree or Savanil tree or Kusha grass or Kauncha mountain, etc. All these things. So then, here something interesting you see. Yesterday also we have seen these dimensions, the radius if you want to calculate. This is the diameter of the Jambudvipa is 1 lakh yojana, so its radius is 50,000. The width of saltwater ocean is 1 lakh. The next one, Plakshadvipa, width is 2 lakh. Sugarcane juice also 2 lakh, like that. If you keep adding, the outer radius of the 7th ocean, it is 25.35 million yojanas. The outer radius of the 6th ocean, that is 12.55. The 7th island is 6.4. Half of 6.4 is? If you add 3.2 this one? 15.75. That is the radius of Manasutra mountain, which is situated exactly in the middle of Pushkaradvipa. That is exactly in the middle of 6.4. That's what it is. Now, in the rest of the 20th chapter, from verse number 34 to 41, it describes the places outside the 7 islands. So one interesting thing, because the 7 islands and 7 oceans are occupying only 25.35 million yojanas. It is said that the internal diameter of our universe is 500 million yojanas. In the 3rd canto, 11th chapter, last verse says the diameter of our universe is 11,500 million yojanas. If it is 500 million yojanas, here radius is 25.35, diameter will be?
How? No.
Huh? 50, 2 times to that? 50.7. But total diameter is 7,500. It is only 50. That means only 10%. So where is the 90% of land? So the rest of the Bhagavatam, this chapter, describe the 90% of the Bhumandala. The 7 islands and 7 dvipas, they are occupying only 10% of the land of Bhumandala.
5%.
10% to go.
25 the radius. Diameter is 50. So total diameter is 500. So 10%. So this one is the first one, which is surrounding the seventh ocean, is gold land. A tract of land lies beyond the ocean of sweet water ocean, Shuddhodaka ocean. Its width is equal to the radius of Manasutra mountain, 15.75 million yojanas. It is a land of gold, land made of gold. Its surface looks like a mirror. Any object dropped on this land becomes disappeared. So this is the reason why the people of other dvipas, they do not come and reside in this land. They have abandoned this place. They don't come. But devatas of Amaravati, the actual Sargaloka, occasionally they come and spend some time in this particular golden land. This is only for them, not for the other people who are living in other places. Then, followed by this golden land is Lokaloka mountain. This divides the countries that are full of sunlight from those not lit by the sun. This Lokaloka mountain dividing the land into two parts. The land inside this mountain is called Lokavarsha. The land outside this mountain is called Alokavarsha. Because this mountain is acts like a boundary wall. It does not allow sunrise to go other side of the mountain. So other side there is no sunrise. There is no sunlight. So people cannot live. Inside only people can live. So that is understanding. So the radius or the outer radius of this mountain is equal to the 1/4 of the diameter of the universe. The total diameter of the universe is 500. And 1/4 of the diameter will be 125. So it is 120 written here. It is supposed to be 125, but the calculations bring it down to 123.3. Why it is, we will come to in the future slides. So then, this mountain is created by Supreme Lord in all eight directions. It is a round mountain. It is a circular boundary mountain. So it extends in height all the way up to Dhruvaloka. It covers the three planetary system, Bhuloka, Bhurloka and Swargaloka. It is in all eight directions. And in height it goes all the way up to Dhruvaloka. The rays of sun and other planets and stars and constellations will spread sunlight throughout the three lights within this boundary wall created by this mountain. It does not go beyond this mountain. Other side of the mountain, sun rays does not go. That is the understanding. And further, on top of this mountain, there are four Gajapatis, four elephants. In four directions, one in east, one in west, one in north, one in south. Their names are Rishabha, Pushkara, Chuda, Vamana and Aparajita. These elephants were established by Lord Brahma. Why these elephants were established? To support the Bhumandala and also all the planets of the universe. These four elephants are acting as a balancing elephants, are supporting elephants for Bhumandala and rest of the universe. The Supreme Lord also resides on top of this mountain. The Supreme Lord Narayana also resides on top of this mountain. For the welfare of all the living entities who are residing all over Bhumandala and all over the rest of the universe. And also to energize these four elephants so that they can perform their task of balancing the Bhumandala and maintaining and supporting the entire universe. So that is the activity of the Supreme Lord there. And then the remaining land outside this mountain is known as Alokavarsha. This is a tract of land outside Lokaloka mountain range, which is known as Alokavarsha because nobody resides there. The reason is it is full of dark, because of which it becomes inhabitable. Its breadth is equal to the radius of far edge of Lokaloka mountain. The radius of far edge of Lokaloka mountain is said to be 1/4 of universe diameter. The width of this Alokavarsha is also 1/4 of the universe's diameter. So 1/4 becomes 1/2. That will be the radius of Bhumandala. So in that way everything is done. All the dimensions are done. So the outer radius of this Alokavarsha will become 246.6 million yojanas, which is very close to 250 of the. Thus the total diameter of the Bhumandala will be 493.2 million yojanas. But the inner diameter of the universe initially is 500. So that means there is a gap between Bhumandala and the universal shell. So that is called in Bhagavatam as the free space. And then after the free space comes universal coverings made up of earth, water, fire, ether, etc. So Bhumandala's diameter is 493.2 million yojanas. Thus there is a free space of 3.4 million yojanas all around from the shell. So yeah, all around shell.
Is
ether? Yeah, everywhere. Ether, air, everything is there. Ether, air.
Huh?
There
is no sunlight.
No sunlight. So because of this free space, kindly pay attention. Lord Shesha holds up the Bhumandala from beneath. Lord Shesha is situated below the Bhumandala and he holds up the Bhumandala. Otherwise Bhumandala can fall down into Garbhodaka ocean. And then the four directional elephants which were kept by Lord Brahma on top of Lokaloka mountain steady the Bhumandala. Because Shesha is holding from below, being situated in the middle of the Bhumandala. The Bhumandala can go this side or this side. Yes? So this side or this side. The mountain is somewhere here. So four elephants here, one, four elephants and four directions are balancing that. And this is important thing. Because of this free space, Lord Varaha lifted up the earth or Bhumandala, which has sunk in Garbhodaka ocean during Swayambhu Manvantara and during Chakshusha Manvantara periods. If there is no gap between the Bhumandala and the universal shell, there is no possibility that Bhumandala can sink into Garbhodaka ocean. Because the diameter is the longest distance in a circle. So it cannot go down. Because it is lesser than the diameter, it can go down. Simple.
I repeat what that means.
Huh?
The binary shell is there. I am
repeating. So diameter is the longest distance within the circle. So Bhumandala is almost with the diameter. If Bhumandala is 500 million yojanas, it can never go down.
Exactly.
So it becomes less and less. Because it is less, so there is a chance that it can go down and merge into Garbhodaka ocean. So Lord Varaha has to appear and he has to lift occasionally, painstakingly.
So it happens, is it frequently a certain time period like that? Something?
It happened twice till now.
So the Hiranyaksha took the
I don't know that. Here Bhagavatam is saying like this. It went into Garbhodaka ocean. So Lord Varaha came and lifted up this. The free space, to explain the free space, Chakrapath connecting to all these different pastimes or different other things. So this is how we can understand. So now in a pictorial form, this is the universe. We'll take questions after few more slides. Just let us take everything together. So this is the universal shell. Now you see all the divisions. These are the seven dvipas and seven oceans which we discussed in the beginning. This is the golden land, Swarna Bhumi. This is Lokaloka mountain. This is Aloka Varsha. Okay. This is the free space which is there after Aloka Varsha and before the beginning of universal shell. Small space, 3.4 million yojanas. So now this is the entire Bhumandala in isometric projection. This is the pole star. These are seven vipas. This is golden land. This is Lokaloka mountain, the black one. The grey one is Aloka Varsha. Now everything is gone. So now comes the Lokaloka mountain. The Lokaloka mountain is like this. Just see, this is the Lokaloka mountain area from here to here. The inner radius of this Lokaloka mountain will be 41.1. The outer radius is 82.2. The outer radius of this particular the width of this is 123.3 and this is 246.46 centimeters.
Is it golden?
Prabhuji?
Bhumandala
only we are discussing.
But this is the whole island. After that, the very island part.
Islands are 10%. This is the remaining 90%. Prabhuji? See, don't be get confused. I am showing every slide. So you see, this slide, everything is there. This Loka Varsha consists of seven dvipas and seven oceans, which we discussed in the beginning of our class.
Yes.
And afterwards, there was golden land. We discussed.
No.
Mars.
Gold land.
No,
we discussed.
It is Mars.
Yeah. And then followed by that gold land is Lokaloka mountain, which is separating Lokavarsha and Alokavarsha. Within the Lokavarsha there is sunlight. Other in the Alokavarsha there is no sunlight. That's why it becomes in a non-inhabitable.
Lokavarsha is habited.
Habited.
And Alokavarsha is uninhabited.
Non-habited.
Yes.
90%
mountain and Alokavarsha.
Most of it is mountain and Alokavarsha. Except golden land.
Yes.
Golden land maybe some percent. So now, the same thing in isometric projection. That is like top view. This is isometric projection. So everything, you see, this is 7 islands and 7 oceans. Okay? This is golden land, the green one. The black one is Lokaloka mountain. The grey one is Alokavarsha. You are getting same colors there also?
Yes.
Sometimes they come different. So how does Lokaloka mountain, if you see in height wise, this is the position of Lokaloka mountain. This is the position of 4 elephants in 4 directions. Okay, it makes sense?
Yes.
So sun, moon and all the stars are within this Lokaloka mountain. They illuminate the area within this only. The sunrise will not come out of this mountain. This is what is explained in this particular chapter at this point of time. So that is universal covering. The followed by this free space, there are 7 layers of universal covering made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, false ego, mahatattva. Each is 10 times wider than the previous one. And beyond that universal layers is the destination of pure souls, that is Brahmajyoti and Vaikuntha planets. So beyond Alokavarsha, after the universal shell, the pure destination of the aspirants of liberation is there. This is beyond the jurisdiction of 3 modes, it is completely pure. And through all these places which we discussed, the 7 islands, 7 dvipas, golden land, Lokaloka mountain, Alokavarsha, 7 layers of the universal shell, and then Brahmajyoti, Lord Krishna took Arjuna to rescue the 10 sons of the Brahmana, and both of them went to Mahavaikuntha and then brought back the sons of Brahmana. They all have some connection to that place. So in summary, everything in a small table. The golden land width is 15.75 million yojanas. The outer radius is 41. Lokaloka mountain width is 2 × 41, that is 82.2. Its outer radius is 123. Alokavarsha width is equal to inner diameter, and then the total outer diameter of Alokavarsha is, outer radius of Alokavarsha is 246. Then there is a free space of 3.4. 246 plus 3.4 becomes 250. And then after 250 there are universal coverings, 7 universal coverings. Each covering is 10 times to the previous covering. And then comes the destination of pure souls, that is Brahmajyoti, and then Vaikuntha planets, and then etc. So, yes Prabhu, wait. Just 2 minutes, then we'll take questions. So, this is the same thing, whatever we discuss, everything in summary. Sir. So, this is the entire Bhumandala. Here we have 7 dvipas, golden land, Lokaloka mountain, Alokavarsha. This is the free space and universal shell. This is Garbhodaka ocean, this is ether. This is Lokaloka mountain. So, everything is there. Is poster. Everything is there in this picture, whatever we have discussed till now.
Where are layers?
Layers are outside the universe. This is the beginning of the universal layers. The same thing in a 3D picture. This is the Bhumandala which you see from the top. So little close up. The names. The same thing in a table. Starting with Jambudvipa, salt water, ocean, everything put together. So this, all the 7 islands occupy 10% of the land, 25.35, and then comes golden land, Lokaloka mountain, Alokavarsha, free space, everything put together, 250. The radius is 250, diameter will be 500. This is the total details of this particular. So everything you see, nice animation. This is Jambudvipa, salt water ocean. Second dvipa, second ocean. Third dvipa, third ocean. Fourth dvipa, fourth ocean. Fifth dvipa, fifth ocean. 6th dvipa, 6th ocean, 7th dvipa. In the 7th dvipa, there is one mountain which is known as Manasuttara mountain. On top of this mountain, there are four cities of four devatas. Okay? On top of this mountain, sun travels in his chariot and in an orbit known as Samasara. So, sun is traveling above this Manasara mountain. And then seventh ocean, then golden land, then Lokaloka mountain, then Aloka Varsha, then the universal shell. This is the summary of what we discussed till now, everything. The same thing, this is the drawing made to the scale according to the dimensions given in Bhagavatam. So, this Loka Varsha, its radius is 41.1. The width of Lokaloka mountain will be 82.2. The width of Aloka Varsha will be 123.3. 41, 82, 123. 1 is to 2 is to 3. That is how the division is made within the Bhumanda. This is like arbitrary division, but with a calculated division, everything. So this is Loka Varsha, this is Lokaloka mountain, this is Aloka Varsha, this is free space, this is universal shell. And within Loka Varsha we have two different segments. One is golden land, which is in this is the golden land, and this again this circular round is there, na? This is the boundary of entire thing is Bhumandala. Seven dvipas with seven oceans. So that is magnified here. This is the seventh ocean, this is seventh dvipa. This is the Manasara mountain. Sixth ocean, sixth dvipa, fifth ocean, fifth dvipa, fourth, third. Still it is going very small. It is further magnified here. This is second ocean, second dvipa. The green one is first ocean, that is salt water ocean. The white dot is there here, center me. That is the first dvipa, that is Jambu dvipa. That if you further magnify, okay, these are about mountains, how the mountains are located. That you further magnify, it looks like this. That Jambudvipa is divided into 9 divisions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. These are the 9 divisions of the Jambudvipa. And one among the 9 divisions is Bharata Varsha. That is also further divided into 9 parts. Out of those 9 parts, the bottommost part is known as? So what is that Bharatakanda? Okay, and we also discussed how Ganga descended into our universe, and we also discussed on top of Mount Meru the 8 devatas and along with Brahma have their residences and all these things. So, okay, not this, this is not required. So, it makes sense, some description of Bhumandala with all these details and the pictures. If it makes sense, let us go ahead. So this is not required. Actually, sorry, there is a video at this point of time. Few slides back, it must have been there. I don't know. Here only.
The greater earthly planetary system extends out to the edges of the universe and has a diameter of 4 billion miles. Known as Bhumandala, shaped like a lotus flower, it has 7 concentric islands and oceans with Mount Meru as its pericarp. The 7 oceans respectively contain salt water, sugarcane juice, liquor, clarified butter, milk, emulsified yogurt, and sweet drinking water. Sometimes Vedic cosmology is misconstrued as portraying the earth to be a flat disk. This flat earth misconception arises partly due to our inability to understand Vedic nomenclature. A single object may be referred to by several names, and a single name may refer to several objects. For example, the term Earth may be used to describe at least 6 different aspects of cosmology. The Earth we live on is indeed a globe as explained by the Sanskrit word Parimandale, meaning spherical, used in the Mahabharata text. The flat disk refers to the greater earthly planetary system of Bhumandala. 4 elephants of inestimable size are placed at the 4 directions for balancing the greater earth.
anybody has any clarification or end outs about the same?
Aloka was being discussed and the female express. So, if you take all the inverse, then after the woman, all the transitional, upper transitional, there.
Prabhuji, don't introduce something we never discuss.
Finally, you saw the all the universe, na? This all the seven layers.
We are not discussing all universe.
No, only one universe. The peripheral part we discuss. This the
Forget about all those things. So we are discussing about Bhumandala.
Yeah, that is there. But inside Bhumandala, in the universe there is Bhumandala.
Yes.
Right. The so we discuss all the seven, layers of the periphery.
Yes.
So I am in Bhumandala. So that is also. Inside the universe, there are all the current systems.
They are there. Tomorrow we will discuss.
That's why there is a space, allow versus then that.
Yeah, they are there. Don't get. Yeah.
So, what is the signal from Mount Eru? What is the signal?
The center of Bhumandala, center of the universe. It is made up of gold. It is the abode of all the yogis.
No, just like elephants, the balance. But what is the signal of Mount Eru? Is there no Mount
Eru? Which mount? Mount Eru. Meru.
The question is just like the significance of elephants is to balance. What is the significance of Meru?
The
mountain, only special mountain. Significance is it is made up of gold. Is there any mountain here in your experience made up of gold? Pure gold, not 24 karat gold. Pure gold. 100% completely pure gold.
Yes, especially if it also balances the entire universe of
the gold. Very good.
No, it acts like a pericap of the universe, not balances. Nothing to do with balancing of the universe.
Pillarless bridge. Only just like pillarless bridge. The one main structure is there all.
Nothing. It is center of the universe. It is the center of the Bhumandala, center of the universe. That is the significance of that.
I always had this, doubt in my mind that when earthquakes occur, so is it related with those four elephants or is it like they are balancing?
We are in this particular part of the earth and their elephants are in the bigger earth. So this earthquake, that earthquake, nothing, I don't know. It may not much
of elephants.
It may be connection, but our earthquakes are due to our own bad activities. We are digging the earth everywhere, here and there, to extract petrol and so much here and there. That's why earthquakes are coming. Yeah. It is all because of our activities only it is coming. Nothing wrong with the elephants. No, earthquakes, we are talking about the earthquakes and here.
Yeah.
Not in the Bhumandala. So, here the earthquakes are coming because of our own activities. Our own Ugrakarma.
And secondly, Jambudvip, the entire Bhumandala fell on into the bow of the person.
Whole Bhumandala.
But it seems that the diameter of Bhumandala itself is like, it's almost equivalent to that of the universe. So universe is like an egg. The universe is like an egg. Like an egg.
Okay.
Shape is like an egg. So the maximum diameter will be there at its center.
Center.
The equatorial.
Now that is where the Bhumandala is stood at.
So but when it goes down into Garbhodaka portion, so the diameter decreases,
Garbhodaka portion is just below the Bhumandala. Just below. In a lotus pond. Where is the leaf? In a lotus pond.
Okay. It is just above the
just above the water.
Alright.
It can immediately sink into the water.
Okay. This Bhumandala is flat,
no? That's what we are seeing here.
Yeah. Bhumandala is flat, but when Lord Varadev emerges out of the water. We have seen round shape something.
It's okay. Some say that in Madura, if you go and see, it is like a disc shape. If you want to see the disc shape, go to Madura and see.
Madura?
Madura. Madura also there is Varaha deity is there. Go Varaha deity. Okay? So let us take 5 minutes break, then we'll continue.
Bhumandala is circular
shape. This. Saint in the line of Bhagavatam. To clarify what has been spoken in Bhagavatam and to add what is not spoken in Bhagavatam. This book helps us to reconcile some of the loopholes. Not loopholes which are not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. He elaborately explains so we get complete picture. So he is born in 1480 and lived for 120 years. This is Srila Vajraya Gupta. He is a hardened devotee of Lord Hayagriva. He is a renowned Acharya in the line of Madhvacharya after Sri Jayatirtha. They consider that Madhvacharya, then Jayatirtha, then Vajratirtha. They are like stalwart scholars in the line Madhva. Just like we have Goswamis. The Goswami's literature has been commented by Jiva Goswami and then further commented by Vishnu Chakravarti Tagore and then Baladeva Vidyabhushan, like that. So whatever writings written by Madhvacharya, Jayatirtha came and commented, still some are left, then Vajratirtha came and commented on those literature. So one such book written by this personality is Bhugola Varnam. So let us see some notes from that book, which is almost similar to Bhagavatam description only. Somewhere, someplace, some details are a little bit here and there. So this part of this presentation is not part of exam. Whatever 20 chapter we have covered, questions already given to Prabhuji. You can share the questions with you. The same questions there in that question bank, I added one more extra question, which is not there in the question bank. So the universe or the Brahmanda, it is like a hollow golden shell. Hollow golden shell. It is called Brahmanda, Hiranyakasipu, etc. It is fully round in any direction, that is spherical. Though it is called Brahmanda, it is not egg-shaped, it is spherical shaped. You are asking, huh? So its internal width in any direction, it is 500 million yojanas. So within that, exactly in the middle, is the Bhumandala. It is a vast land spread across the diameter of the universe, consisting of three parts. In the Bhagavatam, we have three parts. In the Bhumandala, what are the three parts? Aloka Varsha, Lokaloka Mountain, Loka Varsha. 1:2:3. Same way, so this Bhugola Varnam also has got three parts. This is the entire clear, this is the universal shell. Lower half is filled with Garbhodaka Ocean, upper half is filled with sky. Exactly in the middle is Bhumandala. The middlemost part is circular earth. The part surrounding that is dark region of darkness or Andhatamas. The third part is known as Ganodaka, solidified water. These are the three regions with which with the names the Bhumandala is divided. Here in Bhagavatam we have the names as the seven Dvipa, Loka Varsha, Lokaloka Mountain, Aloka Varsha. Here they are not calling with the same names, some different names is given. That is okay. Everyone has their freedom to give different names. So then this is all this together called Bhumandala. This is the universe shell in all directions. So the dimensions are not 1:2:3. Here it is 1:2:4. Little difference in dimensions, little difference in calculation. So wherein in Loka Varsha we have seven Dvipas, seven oceans and then golden land. That golden land dimension varies little bit here and there. Then it matches to virgin dimension, everything is there. The first one is radius is 35.71. The width of the second region is 107. The width of the third region is... So, the width of the first radius is 35. The width of the first one is 71. The width of the third one is 172. 35 2 times 70. 70 2 times 140. Something like that. This is the outer radius. Total becomes 250. That's how they say. Total radius of the Bhumandala is 250. Diameter is 500. So this is the circular earth. This is the region of darkness, second one. This is the Ganodaka, solidified water, third region. This is the old Bhumandala. They are divided into ratio of 1:2:3. This is 1, this is 2, this is 3 times. So then, one by one is described. What is the description of circular earth? Circular earth has got inside 7 islands and 7 oceans, just as Bhagavatam, no problem. Followed by golden land, land of gold, there is no problem. But this golden land is followed by land of diamond. That golden land only divided into division, different divisions. So some part is called gold land, some part is called diamond land, and the remaining part is called Brahma Bhumi. Bhumi dedicated to Brahma or Brahma Bhumi, something like that. So all put together its diameter is 7.14 crore yojanas. They use crores as their measurement in this book. So this is how we can see. This is we have seen many times the seven Dvipas and seven islands which were created by Prirodha Maharaj. this is the golden land, this is the diamond land. This is what they say. And then Brahma Bhumi, that is a small tract of land, very small.
There is a, we refer to as a space.
No, that comes after Aloka Varsha. That is very far. The one golden land only divided into three different divisions in Gurukul Varna. Bhagavatam in one shloka only talks about it, does not go into details. So here they are going into details. What is it?
Gold comes diamond and Brahma.
So next, the second region, description of Andhasamas, the region of complete darkness. So beyond Brahma Bhumi is Lokaloka mountain. Same thing, no? There also after golden land, Lokaloka mountain. So this is called, then beyond that Lokaloka mountain is Andhasamas. The Lokaloka mountain also divided into two parts. One is Lokaloka mountain only, followed by Lokaloka mountain is Andhasamas. They say it as the pit of darkness, there is a pit in the Garbhoda portion that is called pit of darkness. It is called Adogati or the downward path. The principle of darkness extends even higher than the Lokaloka mountain, 5.16 million yojanas. It is petrified darkness like water turned into ice. So while discussing this chapter, they quote two shlokas from 16th chapter Bhagavad Gita. 20, 21, 22 or 18, 19, 20. Tanaham Grishakuran Samsareshu Naradama Ashuban. So those two shlokas wherein he said that this kind of asuras, I'll throw them into hellish condition, or I'll make them take birth in Asuriva Yonishu Muda Janma Janmani. Again and again they take birth in the Asuri families. Eventually they land up in hellish condition. So they refer to the result of those two shlokas is this Antamas, which is outside Lokaloka mountain, which is the pit of darkness. The people who perform greatest of our sins, they will be thrown into this hell. They will suffer for long time. The people who go to hellish planets, they may suffer for few hundreds of years, few decades or few thousands of years at max. But those who are greatest of great sinners, they will go to these hells. That's how they say. So same thing in a pictorial form, this is the cross section of the Bhumandala. So this is the Mount Meru where it is located. This is moon, the moon is located to be just above Mount Meru, something like that. This is the sun is located here, he is travelling above Manasutra mountain. This is Lokaloka mountain, if you see everything was bright. When mountain came, the other side of the mountain will be dark because sun is here, sun rays cannot go through the mountain to the other side. The pit of darkness, as they were describing, it is here, after the Lokaloka mountain, the pit of darkness. This is inside the Bhumandala. No. According to them, the Lokaloka mountain area itself is having this pit of darkness area also.
Divided into two parts.
Like, two subsections. They are corresponding, that region of darkness is corresponding to Lokaloka mountain in Bhagavatam. Just surrounding the Lokaloka mountain is the pit of darkness.
They call Aloka as
Aloka is the remaining part.
Okay.
This is not the end of the Bhumandala.
Okay.
The remaining is much more is there. So this is like pit of darkness. But the actual hellish planets are here actually. The 28 hellish planets which are described in 26th chapter of Bhagavatam, they are here. Their location is here. So this is not to scale, just to indicate you. These are not, dimensions are not to scale. So this is how it is. And then that book describes to the nether worlds, the lower seven planets, where is the location, etc. They describe. The lower seven planets are located within the halos of the Bhumandala. So below them, the earth is rocky in nature. So that is solid earth. We'll see in the next picture where it is actually. So then, below this is the location of 8 elephants which are carrying the weight of entire Bhumandala. So the 7 lower planets are within the halos of the Bhumandala. Below them there is some more earth which is rocky in nature. Below that there are 8 elephants. So it is here Lord Yamaraj is abode, his court, everything is situated. And this place is surrounded by a big moat, which is spread to many yojanas and very deep. It is called as Vaitarna river. It is terror to sinners. So any person after death, he will be taken to Yamalok. But before entering to Yamalok, he has to travel through this Vaitarna river, which is filled with pus, urine, mucus, blood, stool, urine, etc. All these things. So one has to travel through this by swimming. So it is said, that's why in the literature, while living, if a person gives charity to the needy, he, after death, if he is supposed to go through this river, he will get a boat in charity. So that he can travel in a boat. Or while living, if a person gives charity, soul is, even the previous chapter, 30th chapter says that the soul is dragged from here all the way up to Yamalok on sandy road, which is burning sand. But if the person is giving in charity while living, he will get sandals, he will get umbrella while going to on that path. These are not like something subject matter of laughing. These are like
serious matter.
These things are considered very serious. That's why people are generous in the previous ages. They used to, they consider Atik Deva Bhava, they used to feed everyone. That's why now Indian culture has got no payment for education, medicine and food. There was no charges for these things, they would offer freely. So these are like basic necessities for human life. But nowadays we have to work, we have to slog like donkey for these things, Whatever money we earn, we have to spend for these three things only. For our education, there are lakhs of school fees. For every year, children has to be paid for by lakhs of rupees. And we have to spend lakhs of rupees for medicine. Yes? If one devotee goes to Bhaktivinoda Hospital, how much it will be? So, and then education, medicine and food. So, how much it will cost for our daily food? Or so, all this, huh? Sir? How much money we are spending on these things? So, to have all these things in our life, we have to work like donkeys throughout the day. But in the previous centuries, these are all freely available. No one needed to work for these things. So, that is how our lifestyle has changed. So, there are thousands of hellish planets, such as Raurava, for punishing the sinners of different kinds. So, beneath the earth, these hellish planets are located beneath the earth and above Ganodaka. According to them, the third part Ganodaka, they have not described elaborately, but here they are giving an indication that there are seven lower planets, below that there are hellish planets, below that there are Ashtadikajas, most probably below that there is Garbhodaka Ocean. According to them, Ganodaka is Garbhodaka Ocean. The hellish planets are located in between Ganodaka and hellish planets. So that hard earth finds its support on Adishesha said. The whole Bhumandala is carried on by Adishesha. So that is what is described. So everything in a cross-sectional view, this is the thickness of the Bhumandala. Yesterday somebody asked what is the thickness of Bhumandala. So now we will get the hint of that. These are the seven lower planets, Atala, Vitala, all the way up to Patala. The dimension of each respective planet is 10,000 yojanas in height and also 10,000 yojanas in length. 10,000 yojanas in width. The Mount Meru goes below by 16,000 yojanas as we started yesterday. So this is 16,000 yojanas. These are 7 planets, 10,000 each. And the Google Varnam says that there is a small gap between two respective planets. That is around 500 yojanas. So all put together, how much it will be till here? 7 times 10,000, 70 plus 16 Mount Meru, 86. Then 6 times 500, that is 3000. So 86 plus 3, 89,000. There is 11,000 yojanas in the remaining earth, which is like rocky in nature. This is the rocky portion. So thus the whole Bhumandala's thickness will be 1 lakh yojanas. The thickness of the Bhumandala is 1 lakh yojanas, which is equal to the width of Jambudvipa. And the 28 hellish planets are located here. In the previous chapter of Bhagavatam class which you attend, if you happen to attend, so one shloka tells that the hellish planets are located 99,000 yojanas from top. Our earth globe is somewhere here,
from here to elephants, the distance is 99,000 yojanas. If the whole Bhumandala is 1 lakh yojanas, the elephants are 99,000 yojanas, they must be 1,000 yojanas above the lower surface of the Bhumandala. This diagram makes some sense. And then below this Bhumandala are the 8 elephants which are carrying the weight of the entire Bhumandala. Astradigajas are said to be here. Sheshana is also there. It will come in the next picture. In this picture is not there. This is a summary of the same things. The 7 lower planets, Mount Meru, the 6 caps, the below earth and the total weight. Here you see. This is the Bhumandala. These are the 7 lower planets. These are the 7 lower planets. This is the Elish planets. These are the 8 Ashtadikajas. You are able to see them clearly. And this is the Shesha, who is holding the Ashtadikajas and hence the entire Bhumandala. And then comes Kurma, who is giving support to Shesha, so that Shesha will not sink into Garbhada Kosha. Snakes may float in the air, but they may not carry lot of load and float in the air. Kurma can carry the weight and float in the, not in the air, sorry, in water, in Garbhada Kosha. So this is the reason. So these are the 7 coverings of the universe. Somebody was asking where are the coverings. These are the 7 coverings. Though their dimension is very big, I put small because the picture is already big. Actually they are like this. Though this gap is very small, in the previous picture they appear to be inside the water. Kurma, Shesha and everything appears to be inside the water, but they are not inside the water. Kurma half inside the water, half floating. Above Kurma is the Shesha, above Shesha is the remaining everything portion. So it is said that the thickness of the Bhumandala is 1 lakh yojanas and the intermediate gap wherein the Kurma and Shesha is located is also 1 lakh yojanas. So 2 lakh yojanas are occupied by Bhumandala and intermediate space. So out of 250, 2 lakh yojanas you remove. The remaining is entire Garbhada Kosha. Garbhada Kosha is supposed to be half of the universe, that is 250. So from 250 million yojanas you remove 2 lakhs. Then it becomes 249.8 million yojanas. That is the depth of the Garbhada Kosha. This is the picture which they have in their book, Bhugola Varnam. So this is the entire universe, this is the Bhumandala, these are the 8 elephants, these are lower 7 planets, these are Elish planets, this is Shesha, this is Kurma, so it's like that, these are the upper planets, etc. So now, so whatever we have discussed, you know, it's a small video.
Below the earthly planetary system are 7 subterranean realms named Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Dasatala, and Patala, which do not receive sunlight and which are inhabited primarily by demoniac living entities. To reach the first one, one must go 80,000 miles downward through underground tunnels. At successive depths of 80,000 miles are the remaining 6 netherworlds, all of which are fully developed underground civilizations. In the 4th level downward, Talatala Loka, lives the magical architect Maya Danava, who has designed many brilliantly decorated cities where proud materialists reside. Below the nether worlds are the 28 hellish planetary systems. The demigod of justice, Yamaraj, judges the unrighteous human beings after their deaths and sends them to one of these planets. There, errant souls are administered appropriate punitive measures corresponding to their misdeeds. The earthly and subterranean planetary systems rest upon one of the hoods of the gigantic divine serpent, Shesha. Shesha in turn is held up by the colossal transcendental tortoise, Kurma. And Kurma resides in the ocean that fills half the universe. Thank you.
Okay, anybody has any doubt till now? Because next session is a long session, we will not take a break. Break for question answers.
Prabhuji, here in this video it is said that half the universe is filled with water.
Oh, yes.
So if we see, then, but you said ki between that Bhumandala and those tortoise and
2 lakh
Krishna, there is some gap.
2 lakh
so if half is filled, then Bhumandala should be somewhere above diameter.
The upper surface of the Bhumandala is exactly at the diameter location, exactly in the middle of the universe. The thickness of the Bhumandala is 1 lakh. The area in which Shesha and Kuma are located, that is also another lakh. 2 lakh. When Bhagavatam says it is half, that is approximate. So don't. Half will be 250.
Almost
250 million yojanas. Minus 2 lakhs. How much it is?
240.
Prabhuji?
Oh, sorry.
250 million yojanas minus 2 lakh yojanas. Tell me how much it is?
249.8.
249.8. Between 249.8 and 250, is there any difference? Are they can be called as half of the universe?
Yes.
Can
be called as half
of the universe?
Yes. It is the location of the Bhumandala, not necessarily the water touching the
Yes. The surface of the Bhumandala is exactly in the middle of the universe.
Yeah, it's where the water is filled up.
But look, it is said lower half is filled with water. That means almost lower half, no, 2 lakhs is nothing in here and there. Plus minus.
The 8 elephants they are holding
just
below the Elysian planet. Above actually the Anansis.
Haan, both Anansis.
According to the
Bhugala Varna. It is according to Bhugala Varna. It is there in Bhagavatam. Not in 5th canto.
Okay.
It is there in 10th canto. It comes in 10th canto. It comes in 9th canto, 8th canto also, and then 10th canto. These elephants were generated or produced from Samudra Manthan pasture.
That is, this 8
the same 8 elephants.
And this 4 elephant is able to the same or less?
Same case, Prabhuji. Wo upar hai,
niche. That is okay, but
different.
Yeah, different.
They are different.
The Saman Puri, the Abode of
Emraj.
Emraj.
This is Narakalok where people are judged.
The
Hellish planets? Hellish planets, Narakalok.
To the Lokaloka mountain, which you said extend up to Throloka.
Yeah.
Three so, planets. Again, Throloka is very top of the Satyaloka and Brahmaloka.
We have not discussed where Throloka is there. We will discuss about it tomorrow.
Okay.
As of now, it is mentioned like that, we will take it. Where exactly it is, will be clear tomorrow.
Okay.
Any question? Otherwise, we will go ahead. Is this clear, whatever we are discussing, or unnecessarily confusing and none of you want to know about it?
Yeah.
It is clear, na?
Yes, very
good. So now, based on this, all the descriptions which were given in the book till now, they want to arrive to a conclusion. The purpose of discussing all these lower planets and Shesha, Ashtadikajas, they want to arrive to a conclusion. That's what is discussed in this next two slides. The earth below Patala is rocky in nature, that 11,000 yojanas area. And it is the location of Ashtadikajas. Just below that Ashtadikajas are there. Below this, Lord Adishesha supports the earth from sinking into Ganodaka. The hellish planets, which are in line with the directional elephants, are naturally above Ganodaka and below the surface of visible earth. They write as like this. But the total Bhumandala width is 1 lakh yojanas. The hellish planets are located at a distance of 9,000 yojanas. They are inside the Bhumandala only. They are not outside the Bhumandala. Still, the hellish planets are above Garbhodaka ocean and below the 7 planet system. As per Srimad Bhagavatam, the hellish planets are located beneath the earth. Here earth means many places earth is used. That means Bhumandala, not our earth globe. Many places earth is being used. That means the bigger earth, the Bhumandala. But above Ganodaka or Garbhodaka ocean. Since the odd earth extends downward up to where it finds support on Adishesha's head. So, no, because Adishesha is in Garbhodaka ocean, so that's how they distinguish. So, here is a substantial ground for us. Okay, now let us go back. Here you see, as per Srimad Bhagavatam, the hellish planets are located beneath the earth and above Ganadaka. Do you remember in the first slide of this Google or Nabuk, we said the entire Bhoomandala has been divided into three parts. The first part is circular earth, because all the dvipas in circular form, that's why they are called circular earth. The second part is called Andhatamas, the region of darkness. Third part is called Ganadaka. We have not discussed what Ganadaka is all about. Here they are giving a hint. As per the Srimad Bhagavatam, the hellish planets are located beneath the earth and above Ganadaka. We have discussed about circular earth with the different divisions of Sarnabhumi, and then we have discussed about Andhatamas area with Lokaloka mountain and pit of darkness. Third area is not discussed. Then they discussed about the thickness of the Bhoomandala. While discussing thickness of the Bhoomandala, they have said there are seven lower planets beneath that hellish planets are there. Now they are telling that these hellish planets are above Ganadaka, that is third part of the Bhoomandala, which is Alokavarsha. Okay? The hellish planets are above Ganadaka in height point of view and below Patala Loka, our seven planet system. If this makes clear, everything is clear. Here is substantial ground for us to conceive that the seven islands with their surrounding oceans are not flat like a single rupee coin. Whatever Bhoomandala we are seeing till now, everything is like a flat. Here the island is not flat like a single rupee coin, but they take a terrace type of arrangement. The entire Bhoomandala, to satisfy the statement of the previous paragraph, they cannot be flat, because Jambudipa is here, hellish planets are here, and the third one, Alokavarsha or Ganadaka is here. And height wise, if this supposed to be below the hellish planets, it cannot be flat. It is supposed to take terrace structure. Terrace structure means like this. The Bhoomandala should be like this. Thus, Pushkara Dipa, that is the seventh Dipa, is 2 lakh yojanas lower than the upper edge of basket like Jambudipa. Upper edge of basket like Jambudipa is Mount Meru. From the top of Mount Meru to the base of Pushkara Dipa is 2 lakh yojanas in height. That is the taper it takes. And the surface of Ganadaka beyond the region of darkness is in line with the Pushkara Dipa. The location of the hellish planets is slightly above this line. So let us see all these things in an image. So this is the image of typical image of the terrace type of structure. So in the middle it is above, as gradually go outside, it is gradually declining. This is the terrace structure. This is like inverted terrace structure. In the middle it is low, as gradually go, it goes upward. This is another image. In the middle it is above, as gradually go outward, it is going downward. This is how it is. So this would be the probable image what we have had in our mind while discussing all these things since yesterday morning. This is the whole universe. The lower half is filled with water, the upper half is filled with sky. This is the lotus flower which is just above the water, or lotus leaf just above the water, or Bhoomandala just above the water, which is carried by Shesha, who is carried by Kurma, who are there floating in the Garbhodaka ocean. And this particular Bhoomandala is divided into multiple parts. This is the region of seven oceans and seven islands. This is Golden Land, this is Lokaloka Mountain, this is Alokavarsha. Or this entire region is circular earth, as it says in Bhugola Varna. This is the region of Andhatamas, this is Ganadaka. According to them, this Ganadaka is nothing but Garbhodaka Ocean. But our Garbhodaka Ocean is only up to here. So what they are doing? They are sending into Garbhodaka Ocean. And then this remaining portion, to match the overall description of Bhoomandala being divided into three parts, they say it should be like this. It should not be like this. It should be like this. This kind of arrangement is called terrace structure. In the middle it is above, as gradually go outward it is coming down. So this is circular earth, this is Lokaloka Mountain, this is Ganadaka. So everything is like tapered portion. So from the top of Jambudipa, that is top of Mount Meru, to Pushkara Dipa, it is 2 lakh yojanas, is the total height. So Mount Meru itself is almost 1 lakh yojanas, so we can take it roughly like this. From top of Meru to the base of Meru is 1 lakh yojanas, this is the location of Jambudipa. From the location of Jambudipa to Pushkara Dipa is about 1 lakh yojanas, that is how it is described. And we also discussed about Mount Meru being inside the Bhoomandala, and then lower 7 planets and hellish planet. This whole thing is also about 1 lakh yojanas. That means here the thickness of the Bhoomandala is almost negligible, very small. So in that way, we can understand the overall structure. So now the same thing in an animated way. This is the circular earth. The circular earth in a derived form of structure, it looks like this. In the middle, it is above. As gradually you come out, it becomes lower, lower, lower. It's like that. This is the seventh dvipa with Manasutra mountain in the middle. This is with Lokaloka mountain around. Lokaloka mountain which is surrounding this particular land. This is another image in the 3D structure of the universe. This is the Bhoomandala, how it look like. In the middle is above, gradually coming down. No, as per Google Varnam. Now what we are discussing is as per Google Varnam only. So these things are not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but these things are essential to explain some of the phenomena which are explained in the Bhagavatam. If this thing is not in pay place, we will be difficult to explain those phenomena for that reason. So this is 2 lakhs. So this is the pole star. And this is the Lokaloka mountain. So because the presence of sun and moon inside, the inside area is bright, outside area is dark. So these are some images which are showing this thing. So last time when we went to Sringeri Brahmachari Yatra, there in Sringeri, they have this particular Sharada Pit, the Yantra, which is called Mahamayur Yantra, on which Sharada Devi's deity is installed, and once in a year, they take out, they also had a 3D picture of this entire Mahameru Yantra. This is almost resembled the entire Bhoomandala. This is Mount Meru. This is the first dvipa, second dvipa, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh dvipa. This is Golden Land, remaining islands. These are the 8 elephants. Same thing, another picture. It is like the same thing. And they have placed it at different places in different forms. They use this. And there are some places they have constructed on the roadside also, as a stupam. This resembles the Bhoomandala. Yeah. This is, we have taken it from Sringeri photos. These photos are from Sringeri. So then, the Bhugala Varnam talks about description of Jambudvipa, wherein orbits of sun and moon are referred, day and night also referred, shape and position of planet Earth is referred. So then, Jambudvipa looks like a basket because the four mountains which are surrounding Ilavata Varsha, they are 10,000 yojanas in height. So it looks like a basket, closed basket. That's why Jambudvipa also called as basket like Jambudvipa. And because of these high mountains, no sunlight enters into Ilavata Varsha. Not 1,000 or 100, 10,000 yojanas in height. Sun is there far. Sunlight cannot come inside the Ilavata Varsha. But still they don't have any problem because there is Lord Shiva inside. They have sunlight, second sunlight from Lord Shiva. So the whole Jambudvipa is a vast land containing 9 varshas, Golden Meru at its center. It is 1 lakh yojanas in diameter. So the same picture. Whatever images we have seen yesterday and in your Bhagavad Subodhini book, and these images are little different. And they have a reason for them to be little different also. The four mountains with which the Ilavata Varsha is made is like this. This mountain is like this, here to here. This mountain is here to here. This mountain is only here to here, here to here. They are the four mountains which are dividing this into Ilavata Varsha. They are the two mountains on this side, two mountains on this side. And this side and this side there was no mountain. This island, which this Varsha is supposed to be 9,000 yojanas according to Bhagavatam, but it is 31,000 yojanas. But according to them, the Lord has made two more mountains in this area and two more mountains in this area. Then 31, which is two more mountains, is 2,000 each. It will become 39 minus 4, 27, by 3, 9, 9, 9. So this is 9, 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 everything is 9. Even Ilavata Varsha, this is 9, this is 9, this is 9, this is 9. So Bhagavatam says in one statement, there are 9 Varshas with a width of 9,000 yojanas. So here the explanation is given. Everything is of 9,000 yojanas with a width of, because it is Varsha, it should be a land between two mountains. That's how they say. And they say that the picture of Bhagavatam is symmetric in two directions only. Top to bottom is symmetric or right to left is symmetric.
10 Varshas.
No, these are intermediate Varshas.
these are not separate verses. The three put together is one verse only, But three divisions they are made. So here you see, it is four dimensionally symmetric. It is all four dimensions is symmetric. Bhagavatam is like top to bottom or right to left is symmetric. So they say that this is the Lord's wonderful creation, that he has created a world which is symmetric in all directions. So that's how they glorify. These are the internal divisions of Ilavruta Varsha. Okay, 20 Kesarachala mountains, the 8 surrounding mountains of Mount Meru, the 4 mountains on top of with 4 gigantic trees. So all their names, Ilavruta, Bhadrasa, Ketumala, Kimpursha, etc. These are the names of all the mountains. The names of other mountains are also mentioned here. Jatara, Devakuta, Pavana, Pariyatra. In addition to these 4 mountains, they have 4 sub-mountains on the northern side and the southern side also. What are they? This is Karavira, sorry, Makara and Trishunga. This is Kailasha and Karavira. Okay? Yeah, as per Bhagavatam, whatever names mentioned here, they are also mentioned here. Two mountains can have same name. There is no problem with that. Many places they can have. So, it's like that. So, one interesting thing is to understand, here also Kailash is there, where Lord Shiva is residing along with Bhavani and 1 billion maid servants of Yaksha women. And here also one Kailash is there. This is the abode of Lord Shiva. This is the bigger Himalayas, where the abode of Lord Shiva is there, wherein he resides along with Parvati, Skanda, Ganesh, Kumara, Nandi, Skanda means Kartikeya. Skanda and Kartikeya both are same, different names, same personality. So Nandi and all the Bhuta Prayer pictures, everyone resides here in this abode of Lord Shiva. This is where Ravana went and want to lift the Kailash mountain. Lord Shiva pressed it through his thumb. So that is where he got the name Ravana. So this is the place about this one. So then, this is the image in Bhagavatam. This is the image in Bhugola Varna. Small difference. Only the shapes are different, the other details are same. This is your Bhagavatam. Subodhani picture. Then, further details of Jambudvipa. Sir. Jambudvipa is basket-like in shape. It is circular. It has an altitude of 1 lakh yojanas. That is the height of Mount Meru. Sun is situated in his own orbit at a distance of 93 million miles away from our Earth globe. They talk about some details about Sun's orbit. About some moon is also situated in an orbit which is located at a distance of 0.25 million miles away from our Earth globe. Their orbits, that means the orbit of Sun and Moon, are almost in line with the equator of the Earth globe. Rahu is 10,000 yojanas below the Sun and inside the Moon. Rahu's location is 10,000 yojanas below from height point of view, and its orbit is within the orbit of Moon. Small orbit of the Rahu is. So Bhagavatam talks about Uttarayana, Dakshinayana and Vishudayana. These concepts are there in the Bhagavatam. So they say that for these three concepts to explain, and also to explain the day and night and the change in seasons in our Earth globe, even in Bhumandala, that Bhumandala cannot be like a flat disk. It should be in the terra type of structure, which we explained in the previous slides. So they are just giving supporting references for that. So flat Earth versus uneven Earth. The 50 million yojanas wide, the 7 dvipas land of Bhumandala, cannot be flat like a single rupee coin. It should be like this. When it is like this only, we can explain the day and night phenomena, and we can explain the phenomena of Uttarayana, Dakshinayana and Vishudayana. Otherwise, these things cannot be explained. So this is the picture which we have derived in the last slides. So this is the height differences, 1 lakh, 1 lakh. So this is the location of the Earth. This is the Sun. This is above Pushkaradvipa. This is the Moon. This is 93 miles. This is 0.25 miles, the radius. Sorry. So, it is clear. It was said that the orbit of the Sun and orbit of the Moon, they are almost in line with the line of equator of the Earth globe. Now, here in this picture, they are almost. And Uttarayana Dakshinayana talks about Sun going into northern direction, upper side, Sun going into southern direction. If the Bhumandala is flat, Sun can never go downward. then Dakshinayana will never happen. To explain Dakshinayana, the Bhumandala should be like this. Or, it is said in the Bhagavatam future 21st chapter, Sun is located at a height of 1 lakh yojanas above Bhumandala. Okay? If the total Bhumandala is flat, Sun is always above 1 lakh yojanas. Sun will never come on the same line of the earth. Sun will never go below the earth. Then how do you explain day and night? How do you explain Uttarayana Dakshinayana? For all these things to explain, Bhumandala should be like this. Then only all these things can be explained like that. They establish their case. We have not shown Rahu yet. We'll discuss about Rahu tomorrow. So this is the entire this thing, the same picture. Okay, now another. If the entire Bhumandala is flat, if Sun is here, if Sun is not, this is here, you see, this is the 7th Dvipa in that Manasutra mountain here, this Sun, we assume. So if Sun is here, will Sun does not brighten the entire area of Bhumandala? Will it brighten? Because if the flat area, Sun is anyway above, you can brighten the entire area. For example, this entire flow we can consider as Bhumandala. If that one small light on that corner, if you turn on, here some light will be there, here some light will be there. Yes. Though Sun may be on one corner of the Bhumandala, there will be some light. But if the Bhumandala is like as it is shown in the below picture, the terrace type of structure, and Sun is here. When Sun is here, this area will be dark.
Yeah.
Because sunrise cannot go through the earth, no? Sun is here exactly this side. So this side will be dark. When Sun comes this side will be dark. So Priyavrata Maharaj divided the Bhumandala into different regions, being not satisfied by this arrangement. One side of the Bhumandala is bright, one side of the Bhumandala is not dark, not bright. So from this type of structure of the Bhumandala, we can explain the daytime, day-night phenomena very easily. If it is flat, that it appears to be not a proper way of arrangement. Here it looks, okay, this can be possible. There is no ambiguity in understanding or explaining that particular thing. So then they further discuss about the 9 divisions of Bharata Varsha, that way the way we discussed yesterday. This is the image taken from that Vedic cosmology video. These are the 9 divisions as they show in the video. So this is the entire Jambudvipa. This is the 9 divisions in Bharata Varsha. This is the 9th division of Bharata Varsha, which is of our interest. So they say that the 9th division is called Bharatakanda. We have seen yesterday according to Bhagavatam. So now they are talking about 9th division. Bharatakanda, it is perked at the southern edge of the Jambudvipa. Dictionary meaning of the perked is to stick up or to jut out. It is like a mushroom which comes out of the earth, surface of the earth. In the rainy season, if you go to place where it is rained, you see, mushroom suddenly comes out early morning. It is not a planet going round the sun. It is not a planet moving around itself and going around the sun. It is connected to the surface of Jambudvipa. It is not disconnected from Jambudvipa. That's what they are trying to establish here. Because we have already seen since yesterday, sun is keep moving. And now another statement, earth is not moving. So it is substantiated by Sri Anantaramu of Bangalore, a scientist who joined the crew of the first Indian Antarctic expedition. From India, whoever went, he joined them. He is a professor in Bangalore University that time. He says, South Pole region projects downward like a cone. The South Pole region projects downward like a cone. Simple to understand, here GV is known for ice creams. If you take a cone ice cream, you take a cone, on top of that cone you keep a big bar of ice cream. How does it look like? Cone, upper a big ball of ice cream. That's how you imagine. The bottom structure which is connected into the lower part of Jambudvipa, it's like a cone. The earth globe is like big ball of ice cream. So this region, the South Pole region, has not been properly surveyed, he says. Therefore, it is indeed a flat line to say that the South Pole region is slightly flat like North Pole region. The North Pole region is flat, but South Pole region is not flat. It is going downward like a cone of ice cream. So then they say that the 9 divisions of the Bharata Varsha, yesterday we did not have any image for that. How do they look like and all? this is the ninth division, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 2, 3, 2, 1, like that we can say. This is the image shown in their book. I just put it in a kilometer. So if you see from the front view or side view, it is like this. This is the 8th division, this is the 9th division. This is the conical arrangement which is made at the south pole. This is the bottom saltwater ocean.
What is that?
It's water.
Bottom.
Bottom, made up of water in the sense icy. Icy water. You see our the structure of our earth globe. So this is the structure of our earth globe. So this is the all different continents, all continents. This is the Antarctica portion. That is what? This is the Antarctica portion. That is where the bottom connection is there. So this is what they say. So thus, hence they say that earth, there is
no movement.
No movement. And does not move around sun also. And they say that whatever flights, whatever space satellite they send, rocket they send, they will be of this side to this side. So they will be from this area to this area only. They don't send any satellites like this covering North Pole, South Pole.
Only in this scale.
Yeah, only in the horizontal scale like this, like this, like this.
So
this. So then we see here it is like this. This is the entire Jambudvipa. This is the 9th division of Bharatavarsha. This is the 8th one, like that we can say. This is from top view, if you take. So it is like that. This is the 9th one, Bharatakanda. This is the overall earth globe. This is North Pole. This is where India is there. India is here. So we can. So this is how they establish how the earth globe is connected to Bharatavarsha, which is part of Jambudvipa, which is part of entire Bhumandala. So then, are there any modern day observations about this conical structure which is connecting the earth globe to lower part of ocean? Any modern day observation to support this? Sorry, it is not updating. Okay. These are some images. There are no flight routes crossing through Antarctica. Because the conical structure is said to be just below the Antarctica only. Na? So, are there any flight routes going through Antarctica? There are no. The flight routes are generally from like this only. So, if are there any flight routes from South Africa to South America? They can go through Antarctica. They are also not there. So this is the Antarctica region. Even if somebody want to go from here to here, they can go like this only. They don't have to go through this. They don't have to go through this. They will go like this only. That's how flight routes are established. Here also you see, none of the no flight routes through Antarctica region. This is like a total summary. 1960s to 1990s, the flight routes are like this. In this area only. This is Asia. This is Europe. This is America, North America. So flight routes are between this only. Japan area is this one. And later on, in 1990 to 2000, the flight routes are expanded, the whole Asia region, etc. And then, even now also, by 2010, if you see, the flight routes from Australia, South Africa and South America, they are there directly from Australia, one can go to South Africa, South America, but none of them are going through Antarctica. There are some cities where airports are there. So then, even people go on excursion to Antarctica, they may go on flights from Australia, but they may cover only on the surfacial region. They may not go exactly to the middle of Antarctica. Even NASA is performing a lot of research in this area. They may also be doing on the periphery area. This is one of the pictures. This is by NASA only. This is some the NASA balloon program. Office code 81820. Some years back in the year 2011, they conducted one experiment. They released one balloon to move around to go to the center, cover the entire Antarctica. It started here, it went all the way, and it came here and stopped the experiment. So it's like that. They started here 1911. It went around, went around, and it came here. It completed 2111, something like that. So basically, so still the central portion of the Antarctica is there. People, whether have gone or not, we don't know. But it is like subject to lot of questions.
So later on, no, much before, one person, Admiral Bibb, he is the one first person said to be going to Antarctica. He went in a boat, not in a flight. He travelled in a boat and then walked all over Antarctica. He wrote all his observations in a diary. Later on, based on the diary, people went and captured the photos of that area. There they found these different huge columns. These are another set of huge columns they found all over Antarctica. So, why I am showing all these pictures? So, even though modern technology advanced so much, people are travelling to Antarctica also. But some of the areas are kept in kind of conspiracy. A few decades back, no one is supposed to go to this area. Even if somebody goes to that area, they were arrested for life. And there are so many documentaries were made in US, specifically by the biblical followers. They consider the earth globe to be flat, the Antarctica region to be the ice wall. If entire earth globe to be flat, the bottommost center will become the outer periphery. The Antarctica is like a ice wall, which is covering the entire earth globe. So if somebody goes all the way up to this ice wall, he crosses that ice wall, he will enter into the seventh heaven. So these are the documentaries made, even biblical followers, they accepted and they propagated also. So like this, there are so many things are done. So, but I don't know, according to Madhva scholars, they say that it is a conical structure which is coming from the lower part of salt water ocean on which the earth globe is resting. So we don't know the proofs, but there is some, we can say, kind of Anuman, Shraddha combined together. So later on NASA, not later on, few years back NASA also released some photos saying that earth globe is not like spherical in shape, it is sphere type. The pair which we offer during our Vaikalik book in the evening. So it is something like that. Or something like this it can be. Or something like this it can be. Like that they have various ways to various ways they promoted. So then, okay, having discussed all these things, some question may be there in your mind, even if it is not there, I will raise it. This is called $1 million question. We have discussed so many things like Jambudvipa divided into 9 parts, Mount Meru in the center, and so many mountains, Bharatavarsha divided into 9 parts, and Bharatakanda is there. So many things are there, Himalaya mountain, bigger mountain, Himalaya mountain is there. So many things are there, nearby to us only. Why we are not able to see? Why Mount Meru, bigger Himalayas and Jambudvipa are not seen by us? We are able to see sun and moon which are so far from us. But we are not able to see these things which are very close to us. Why? So this is the question. Even the Madhva scholars raised in this and they say that the answer given by them is simple answer. Because they differ in composition. Though all these other places are also made up of same earth, water, fire, ether, but their composition is different. They quote this shloka. I don't know what is the Purana also, they don't give a reference also. Adrusha Dhatava Sarve Samutpanna Jala Adaya. All these earth, water, fire, ether, sometimes they manifest the form of Adrusha. They become unmanifest. So instead of expanding the answer, now they are counter-questioning. The question of the question is, will our scientists ever get over the human tendency of succumbing to pride and prejudice in order to know the truth? That means they are telling that why scientists are only depending on seeing is believing, prataksha. Will they use a little introspection to shift from the mere physical to the spiritual? Let the wise build up a growing community to save the world from the darkness of materialism. Let them hold the torch of spiritual light. Let there be a renaissance of religious culture based on revelations. Instead of gaining knowledge only through experimentation and practical observation, let it be also based on revelation. That's how they are trying to inspire them. So, I have included 3 analogies to explain this phenomena called Adrusha Dhatava Sarve Samutpanna Jaladaya. Just see if it makes some sense. We see water in 3 phases, in solid, liquid and gaseous form. The solid, ice, we can hold it, we can see it, we can feel it. Water, we need some particular kind of arrangement to hold that water, otherwise it will go away. Can we hold the moisture? Can we see the moisture? With some special device only we can see the moisture. It is also made up of water. This is also water, this is also water, this is also water.
in its constitutional position. But the same water in a different shape, in different circumstances, it cannot be seen by us. This is one analogy. The second analogy, dust particles. When it is dust, we can hold it. When it is liquid, we can mix it with water. We can try to hold it. When it is mixed with air, can we hold it? We cannot see also. Here also a lot of dust is there. Only sometimes when sunlight comes, through the sunlight we can see some dust particles keep moving. Like that only we can see. The same element in a different composition cannot be seen by us. The third one, third analogy, to make it clear, the gold. Gold which we use in our material appliances is jada, 24 karat gold, 23 karat gold, 22 karat gold. All the ornaments we make. And the gold in the spiritual world is said to be chinmaya. It is live. It is full of consciousness. When Lord wears that gold as ornaments, that can speak to the Supreme Lord. Are you feeling happy by wearing me? Are you comfortable with me? Am I itching you? It can speak to the Supreme Lord. Just like we have this image. Lord Krishna speaks to different birds with which we cannot speak. So, in the spiritual world, everything is chinmaya. Ananda chinmaya rasa. So, everything is chinmaya in the spiritual world. So, gold is also chinmaya. But when it comes to heavenly abodes, the gold is neither jada nor chinmaya. So it can be something like subtle. So what example is given is, whenever somebody worships a particular devata, the devata, for example here Indra, Indra appears along with his airavat and along with his ornaments. Yes, his ornaments and his body they appear. When Indra disappears after speaking to him, what all will disappear? Airavat will disappear, Indra will disappear, the gold also will disappear. If his gold is like jada of ours, gold should be visible, even Indra has disappeared. If that gold is chinmay, like in the spiritual world, instead of Indra, gold only would have spoken to that devotee. Okay? So that means, so just like Indra is kind of subtle with respect to our composition, his body is also subtle, the gold, golden ornament which he wears, they are also subtle. Similarly, Bhagavatam describes about the seven varshas, they are as Baumaswarga Padami, the remaining six islands are also Baumaswarga. So all the things connected to them are also as good as Baumaswarga. So with respect to us, they assume the property of subtlety. So we may not be able to see them. But if they, out of their mercy, can show us, then we can see. And by our own endeavor, we will not be able to see. So this is the understanding I am trying to present. Clear? Though all the things, Mount Meru, Mount Kailash, and everything is Mount Himalaya, everything is near to us, we are not able to see because they are in subtle nature. Even the golden Mount Meru, big one, very big one, we should be able to see from here. So high. Because it is subtle, we cannot see through our naked eye. So then, Madhva scholars further continue, how to understand it? The composition is different, how to understand it? They talk about panchikarana, creation of the grass matter by alodhana or chemical combination. They say that, when you take earth, ether, not ether, earth would be good example. When you take earth element, it is not pure earth element. When you take an amount of sand, that earth element also contains some water within it, some moisture is there inside, it is also a little warmth, some temperature is there, some air is there inside, some ether is there inside. So like that, any element you take, the virgin element is of 120 parts, other 4 elements are 20 parts. It is the constitution of each and every element. When this 120 becomes less and the other elements becomes more, it may take subtle form. That is how they explain the composition is different, how the composition is different. Just like the earth element merges in the air, it becomes invisible. Though it is there, it becomes invisible. There we can say that amount of air is more than the amount of dust elements. So then, so they say about the creation of the universe. What are the contents of Brahmanda? The 5 material principles, the 5 tanmatras. Shabda, sparsha,
Rupa, Rasa and Gandha. The material universe is made up of these five tanmatras. They all dissolved into watery principle. They all dissolved into water. Entered into Brahmanda. When Garbhodaksha Vishnu entered into universal cell, he first created Garbhodak Ocean. As you studied in second canto, third canto, first Garbhodak Ocean is created. That fills the lower half of the universe. It is condensed as hardened water. That is why it is called Ganodaka, Gana Udaka, Gana, saltified water. And the upper half is filled with subtle sky, the ether and air element. The middle part, formation of mineral salts. From this Ganodaka, some minerals are found on top of this Ganodaka. They transform into Bhumandala. That's how they explain. This is all geologistic and artistic manner in the hand of God. This kind of creation is nothing but the hand of God. They are explaining the same thing, same creation as explained in the Bhagavatam for the modern scientific world. So that's how they are speaking like this. Same thing we see, this is the universal cell. When Garbhodaksha Vishnu entered inside, there was nothing. So he filled lower off with water, upper off with air and sky. And from this lower off, the water became solidified water. And top of that, the minerals formed later on into earth element, that became Bhumandala. So that's how they explained. So in the Bhumandala also there are further divisions eventually happened. So while discussing this, they come up with another thing. Are the stars are different suns? The same section also they talk about this. Stellar distances versus Vedic distances. Some of the comparing to modern science, I will just put the slides. So they say that we speak of suns and solar systems within the millions of galaxies. The modern science says that there are unlimited millions of galaxies are there in the outer space. And every galaxy contains one solar system. Every galaxy contains one sun, one earth, one Neptune, Pluto, Uranus and all these different variety of planets. Then they say that, have the scientists found at least one more solar system within our galaxy? Did they really saw and identified another solar system in any other galaxy? This question they pose. And then, we speak of galaxies of different types. Scientists come up with different theories that, oh, this galaxy of this shape, this galaxy of this shape, this type, etc. Are there any galaxies seen in the southern celestial hemisphere? They are referring to the entire Bhumandala is there, na? Below the Bhumandala, the southern side of the universe, southern side of the universe, are there any galaxies found? The scientists say that whatever they have found, that is only cloudy structure. They gave the name to the cloudy structure as 2 Magellanic clouds. They found 2 clouds. They gave the names as 2 Magellanic clouds. This is what? Scientific observation. When they say that there is one sun, there are so planets are moving around, some sun is moving around and nebula and all the galaxies, etc. Everywhere is open space. Then there should be stars on the northern side, there should be not stars on the southern side, there should be galaxies on the northern side, galaxies on the southern side. But they are not seeing stars on the southern side. What they are seeing only stars. Then for them, what is there beyond south? That is a question posed by Madhva scholars. For the information of scientists, it may be said, whatever they may call galaxy, that is nothing but cluster of millions of divine vehicles, which are known as stars. Group of millions of divine vehicles are appearing to us like different stars. Just like, for example, you may come across in the 6th canto, when Chitraketu Maharaj, after having the darshan of Lord Sankarsana, he will be appointed as the king of Vidyadharas. He will be given an aeroplane. He travelled in that aeroplane for 100,000 years. And Kardama Muni, along with his wife, he travelled in an aeroplane created by his own mystic power for 100 years. And these aeroplanes can be seen by people living on the earth globe as stars. That's what they are referring to. Star-like planets are nothing but the abodes of different Yakshas, Guyakas, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Kinnaras, Kimpurushas, Siddhas, Charanas, Vidyadharas. All these people are residing in the star-like planets. They are small planets. They are considered to be stars from us, from our point of view.
Planets are vehicles. Planes.
star-like planets. Though in one cluster, they may different dimension. So this one story, connecting story, they speak about it. So how come modern science comes up with different dimensions? They say that some stars are at so and so light year distance, some stars are far light year distance, all those things. So it is mentioned that this story will speak when that slide comes, that slide comes. So then I have put some references from Mahabharata. During Mahabharata, after pleasing Lord Shiva, after gaining the Pashupatasra, Indra invites Arjuna to Swarga. That time Matali comes in the chariot of Indra, and Arjuna was going to Swarga in that chariot. While he was going, he was observed a special scene. What he was observed is explained here. He espied thousands of chariots of wondrous make. There did not shine the sun, the moon, or the fire. There is no sun, there is no moon, there is no fire. But there are thousands of chariots which are shining brightly. But it blazed, it means the chariots, in its own light, begotten of virtue and ascetic merit. And those brilliant regions that are seen from the earth in the form of stars. What Arjuna is seeing in close proximity as chariots are seen by us who are living on the surface of the earth globe as stars. Like lamps, too small on account of the distance, though very large, were seen in their own spheres. If you go to them, if you see them, they are very large. But if you see from the surface of it, they appear very small, like small lamp. By the son of Pandu, full of beauty and brilliance and shining in their native splendor. Then there is a royal sages of accomplished piety. Whom he saw in that star-like planets, in the chariots? The royal sages of accomplished piety. Heroes who had been slain in battle. It is said, it is a common notion that whoever dies in a dharmic battle will go to heaven. When he goes to heaven, he will be given a chariot which appears like a star from our place. Then further, and those who had obtained heaven by their merit, devout penance, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Gandharvas shining in effulgences like the sun, and also Guhyakas, Rishis and various Apsaras. So basically it's telling that when somebody with their piety, when they go up, either they may become Gandharvas, Apsaras, Guhyakas, or they will get one aeroplane in which they live, accompanied by Gandharvas, Guhyakas, Apsaras and various Rishis. Beholding those self-effulgent Rishis, Palguni striken with wonder, accosted Matali. He asked Matali, who gladly replied, saying, "These are pious persons." Matali is replying to Arjuna. "These are pious persons, O Sanaprata, stationed in their respective spheres, whom you have seen, O Lord, from the earth in the form of stars." These are all accomplished personalities from earth globe, and they have attained now in the heavenly planet their own merit, the result of their own merit. So this is from Vanaparva, chapter 42, text number 32-38, Matali to Arjuna. Previous passing, staying in star-like planets on the way to heaven. So now further goes, the star says that modern scientists have found the stellar distances. The closest star, they named it as Alpha Star, that is at a distance of 4.22 light years. One light year is equal to 728 billion yojanas. Our universe internal diameter will be 500 million yojanas. This is billion, 1000 times bigger to that. Pole Star, which can be seen in the night direction every day, it is situated at a distance of 433 light years. One light year itself is beyond the universal covering, then what to speak of 4 light years and 433 light years. Versus, what is the counter understanding of Vedas? The inner radius of our universe is 250 million yojanas. The beginning of Lokavaka mountain is 41, the middle of Lokavaka mountain. At max, what we can see is only up to the middle of Lokavaka mountain. Because at the bottom it is like this, and the top it is going to the middle. So at max we can see from earth globe to middle of Lokavaka mountain. That is around 82.2 million yojanas, not more than that. So any star, any luminary we see in the outer space should be well within this 82.2 million yojanas. Not beyond that. But one life in itself is 702 billion yojanas. What we can see is only 82 million yojanas. Then what to speak of 4.22 light years and 433 light years. So then the story is mentioned there. How do the scientists come up with these numbers? I don't know. One assumption they make is that they consider all the stars to be another form of suns. Sun has got special dimension. They may be interpolating the same dimension to other stars also. When they see through the telescope, the stars appear to be very small twinkling objects. So even among stars also, some may be appearing big, some may be appearing small. When you already give a clear amount of diameter, when you observe what is the amount of size you observe here, you extrapolate it to that distance based on the dimension and you come up with the distance. Okay? But the problem is, the story is telling that when Indra is going in his chariot is also appearing like a star. He is followed by other army, he is followed by Apsaras, Gandharvas, all attendants. So all of them may be also travelling in their respective chariots, but all the chariots will be small in size, less bright in brightness. When you see through the same telescope, a cluster of stars are together. Among them, you see one big, some medium, some small. Then you come up with the conclusion that the biggest star is close to us, the medium stars are little apart, the smallest stars are very, very, very far. Because you are given fixed diameter. If it is small, it means it is very far. If it is medium size, it is little closer. If it is very big, it is very, very closer. So this is the story quoted in the book. So that is the understanding they come up with. Though they are very close to us, so based on their theories, they give up these big, big dimensions. Though they are in one cluster, the stars may differ in dimensions, the same thing. So this is the one of the concluding statement what they say. Excepting the agnostics among scientists, who have built up prejudicial complexes in themselves, all other great scientists have admitted the limitations of human knowledge and have declared that the mystery about the beginning is ever a mystery for them. Many scientists accept that the mystery of the beginning of this universe is mystery only. It is not so easy to put into numbers or something like that. But others who come up with so many theories, they don't accept this. So some views from Prabhupada, what Prabhupada says about this. Just here from Srimad Bhagavatam, no experiments. Mountains on earth versus mountains on universe. Yesterday we have seen 10,000 yojanas and 1 lakh yojanas, etc. Be satisfied with the statements of authorities. Appreciate how large external energy manifests the cosmos. Our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. Can neither verify, because we cannot see all those things, we cannot verify, nor disprove. We cannot disprove also that they do not exist. So then what about, do they really exist? How do we inject faith in others about the existence of all these places? One easy way of telling is that we hear so many Puranic stories from Ramayana, Mahabharata and other Puranas, even Bhagavatam also. So when we hear some stories, we have faith that these stories have happened at a certain point of time. Just like the stories are authentic, the places connected to the stories also must be authentic. Now we will see some references which are connected to various places. So that gives us faith and we can also explain to others the existence of these places. Though we are not able to see them, but they are there as they were explained in the Bhagavatam. So first reference is from Bhagavatam, 16th chapter, 13th shloka. Parikshit Maharaj is said to be travelling all the Varshas, Bhadra, Shwaki, Ketumala Varsha, Bharata Varsha, Uttarakuru Varsha, Kimpurusha Varsha, and he travelled all over and conquered the kings of all those places and then came back to Kurukshetra, there he punished Kali. So he went to Kimpurusha Varsha, Hari Varsha, Kuru Varsha, Bhadrasu Varsha, he travelled all over and he came back to Bharata Varsha and here he punished Kali. That's what Bhagavatam explained in the 16th chapter. So that means, during the time of Parikshit Maharaj, the whole Jambudvipa is under his rule. He had access to go to all the different places,
and he had ruled also all the places. And then Bhagavatam says that Jambudipadi Patyam. When Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling also, he was also having the authority over the entire Jambudipa. So some references from Mahabharata. The birth of Pandavas, their performance of Rajasya sacrifice and their Vanavas, the Swargavara Parva also has connection to various places in those places which we can't see. Because these people are belonging to the previous Yuga, that is Dwapara Yuga, so they could have had access to go there. This is Pandu Maharaj being cursed by Rishi. These are the two wives of Pandu. They said that if you become united with your wife, you will also die like us. Then Pandu Maharaj became almost renounced, and taking his two wives, he went to Upper Himalayas. Though we don't know where they are, Upper Himalayas and the upper boundary of the Bharatavarsha, but Pandu Maharaj could go to Upper Himalayas very easily. At that time, they could go. They are like elevated people. And they were living in a mountain range known as Shatashrunga Parva. And once all the sages were going to the top of Mount Meru, wherein Brahmaji called all the devatas for a meeting. They want to attend that meeting. So Pandu Maharaj along with his two wives also following all the sages. But the sages told that you have not begot sons. You have not cleared all your debts to the forefathers, devatas. So that is the reason he was told you are not allowed to come up. And those places very difficult to climb up. It is difficult for you and your wives. Even with our merit if we take you, but it is difficult for you, you cannot come. Then Pandu Maharaj stayed back. Then he explained, he was talking to Kunti about his misery that I have not begot my sons, I have not cleared my debts to forefathers. Then Kunti talks about the Durvasa Muni's blessing. Then they begot all the five Pandavas. All the five Pandavas were born in Upper Himalayas. They were studied there only, everywhere they were staying for 14 years in the Upper Himalayas nicely. Then they came to Hastinapur, they were sent to Gurukul of Dronacharya. Then they came back, then they were sent to not one of us. Then they were sent to this Lakshagriha. Then they were travelling in incognito for a few years, then they married Draupadi, then they came back, then they were given this land, Indraprastha, Kandaprastha, they made Kandaprastha. So that is when Pandu Maharaj told them that you please perform Rajasya sacrifice. So while performing Rajasya sacrifice, four Pandavas went into four directions. Arjuna went into northern directions. On the way to northern in the upper Himalaya region, he fought with Bhagadatta, the son of Narakasura, and he defeated him after fighting for 7 days. And then he travelled all over Himalayas, defeated all the other kings. Then he went to Kimpurusha Varsha, defeated all the people. Then he went to Harivarsha. When he went to Harivarsha, the leaders of the remaining Varsha, they came to Arjuna, they said that these places are not meant for human beings to come. But anyway, you have come, what is your purpose in coming here? He says that my brother is performing Rajasya sacrifice. Kindly give token of gifts, accepting him as your monarch. They are very gladly accepted Yudhishthira as their monarch, and they gave presented a lot of wealth as gift. Arjuna brought all the wealth to Indraprastha. That is when he got the name as Dhananjaya. So like that is somewhat. Arjuna also travelled to all these most of the places. And all these places are under the domain of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then they had the Rajasya sacrifice. Then during Vanavas, Arjuna again went to Upper Himalayas, where we have seen that Kailas, where the abode of Lord Shiva is there. Lord Shiva residing along with Parvati, Kumara, that is Kartikeya, and Ganesh, Nandi, all the people are studying. Just adjacent to that, there is a small mountain where Arjuna was performing austerities. That whole episode, all of you must have read Mahabharata. So Lord Shiva comes in the form of a hunter and they had a fight. So then at this point of time, Lord Shiva being pleased with Arjuna, he gives him Pashupatasra, and then four devatas appear, Indra, Vayu, Soma and Varuna. They tell him to go to heaven to learn higher weapons, higher weaponry. So Arjuna goes to heavenly planets. So Arjuna stayed in heaven for 5 years. So not able to tolerate separation for Arjuna, all the remaining four Pandavas, they wanted to come to this upper Himalayas. When they came to our Himalayas, the Indian Himalayas, from this Himalayas they have to go to upper Himalayas. Maybe Bhima can jump, or Yudhishthira can go because of his austerities, Nakul, Sahadeva and Draupadi may not go. And there are so many Brahmanas accompanying them, they will not be able to travel. So then, Bhima calls Ghatotkach, his own son and many other Rakshasas, they came. They carried
the remaining four Pandavas and Draupadi and all the Brahmanas all the way up to upper Himalayas very easily. And in the upper Himalayas they were travelling here and there, lot of places. At one point of time, Draupadi finds a flower. She wanted to have more flowers so that she can present to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So while in searching the path on which the flower came, Bhima was going ahead. On the way he saw one old monkey. That lifting the tail, episode, everything is there. Later on that monkey reveals its original identity as Hanumanji. Later on they had a nice conversation. This is where Hanumanji reveals that this is the boundary of humans. This is the boundary of Bharata Varsha. From here comes the land of monkeys, Kimpurusha Varsha. So you cannot go ahead. The pond for which you are searching, the Saugandhika forest, or the pond where the golden lotus flowers are there, is this side. You go there. So Bhima went there. While he was plucking all the lotus flowers, so many yakshas came and fought with Bhima. They said that this belongs to Kuvera. Kuvera city is also next to that. So you cannot pluck just like that without permission. But Yudhishthira Maharaj comes there and pacifies them, etc. So these places are Pandavas lived for some time and then they gave back. And then later on when Pandavas were going back, Swargarohana Parva, all the four Pandavas in Draupadi, they are falling down one by one while climbing up the upper Himalayas. Only Yudhishthira Maharaj and the dog, both of them go to heaven. In a sense, this is nothing but Yamadhara Maharaj only. He alone goes, tells them body to heaven. Basically, why I am telling all these stories? So the upper Himalayas, though they are not accessible to us, but the people like Pandavas can access them easily because their consciousness is elevated, their position is elevated, etc. So then some stories, recent stories is that Madhvacharya also jumped up to upper Himalayas, being called by Vyasadev. When he compiled commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he wanted to recite it to Vyasadev. He went to our Badrikashram, our Himalayas Badrikashram, where in front of the deity Badri Vishalakshi, he recited that commentary. Then he heard a voice saying that, please come up, I want to have a discussion with you. So then he wanted to go to upper Badrikashram. Then his disciple Satyatirtha was following. Madhvacharya said that you cannot come all the way, you please go back. He sent him back. Madhvacharya just jumped in the air and then went ahead. So when he went there, he had a meeting with Vyasadev, and that is when Vyasadev instructed him, you please write commentary on Veda Sutra. Then he came down, wrote commentary on Veda Sutra, travelled all over India, preached everywhere. Then again he went to our Badri, then from there upper Badri. The second time Vyasadev told that, now you please write commentary on Mahabharata. After coming back, he wrote commentary on Mahabharata, that is called as Mahabharata Aparinirnaya. So like that, two times he went to upper Badri, Madhvacharya. If any personality who is as powerful as Madhvacharya can also go to upper Himalayas. So this is our place. So one interesting thing. Yeah. This is the upper Himalayas which I am talking about. This is the upper Himalayas. This is the Kailash. The Shiva who is residing in this Kailash gave darshan to Arjuna, etc. And some references from your fourth canto. At the foot of Kailash, demigods are Alakapuri and Saugandhika forest. During Daksha episode, when devatas were taken by Brahmaji all the way up to Kailash, on the way they have seen Alakanda river and Alakapuri and Saugandhika forest, from which Bhima took the flowers. And then, Dromara section. Rudranjula Sevatam Dadarsha Imao Dronyam. At the lower peaks of Himalaya, Dhruva Maharaj, in a revenge mood, to kill Yakshas, he went all the way up to this Agalakapuri to kill all the Yakshas. This all happened in this place only. So, in the same place, this is the same area where Mother Parvati performed intense austerities to get Lord Shiva as her husband. Their marriage also took place here. Here, the birth of Skanda and Ganesh. Here Ganga held by Lord Shiva in his jata. Bhagirath Maharaj, his father, his forefather, they came and performed austerities in the same place. This is here Lord Shiva is holding Ganga on his jata. And this is here Kalapagram is mentioned in the 9th canto and 10th canto. So it is said that the Surya Vamsha, Chandra Vamsha, the two important personalities, they are performing austerities here. Because anyway in the Kali Yuga there is no monarchy. Monarchy is not given value. These are the people of the previous age, Dwapara Yuga. They will perform austerities for the entire duration of Kali Yuga. Next in Satya Yuga, they will continue the rule of Surya Vamsha and Chandra Vamsha. Just like it is said that Priyavrata Maharaj ruled for 25 Divya Yugas. But if you see in Kali Yuga, there is no rule of kings. So how to understand that? So maybe during Kali Yuga, they must be performing austerities somewhere in the Himalayas. Later on, they will resume their rulership. And it is the same place where Naranarayan Rishi reside, Badrikashram is there. And Narada Muni worships him. And Kardama, along with his wife, travelled in the valleys of Mount Meru in their aerial mansion. And at Meru's foot in Sukumara Forest, Sudyumna becomes a woman. This comes in the 9th canto, first chapter. The Sudyumna, the first son of Vaivashtamanu. He unknowingly enters into the Rilavata Varsha, enters into the same place where condition is there, he becomes woman. So later on, something about the seven dipas. In the Ramayana, for searching Mother Sita, so Sugriva divides monkeys into four parties. And while discussing the monkeys with the eastern side, he says that if you go on the eastern direction, you happen to see the seven dipas, seven oceans, then you happen to see golden land. If you cross golden land, then you see Shesha. That is where Shesha resides and holds Bhumandala. He is referring to the Shesha who is there below. And he also says that if you go southern side, so after crossing the land of Bharata Varsha or Bharatakanda, there is 100 Yojanas ocean. Afterwards, there is Lanka. Most probably, this is the abode of Ravana. If you go further, there comes the seven lower planets. The lowest one is Patala Loka. After that, there is the abode of Yamaraj. But don't go there. That is not meant for all of us. So, like Sugriva also, use the details of the geography in the Ramayana, in the Kishkindha Kanda. So then some references from 9th canto talking about there are some kings who ruled the entire Bhumandala in their single emperorship. Like King Maruta, Ambarish Maharaj, King Mandata, King Sakara, Lord Ram, Puru, Bharat Maharaj, son of Dushmanta and Shakuntala, and Kartavirya Arjuna. They all ruled the entire Bhumandala as their king. Then something about seven lower planets. The sixth sons of Sagara, they were searching for the last horse. Being instructed by their father, they dug up the earth, the Bhumandala, by 70,000 yojanas. What happened? When the horse is lost, they searched all over Jambudipa, the surface of the Jambudipa. They could not find. Then their father told that, you dig the Bhumandala, each one yojana. The 60,000 sons dug it for 60,000 yojanas. They came all the way from here to here. They could not find the earth. They came back to father. Father said to dig it more. Instead of digging further below, they dug in 8 directions. Then they happened to meet all the 8 elephants. They divided themselves into 8 different groups. They went to 8 elephants. They asked them, so did you happen to see that Indra stole one horse? He might have come this side. They all spoke in a Kuta Shloka. So then they all came back to the same position here. Then understanding that Kuta Shloka, they dug it further. They came down to Patala. That is where they happened to see the horse and Lord Kapila. That photo we have shown previously, the entire pastime took place there. So why I am showing all these slides? Basically, all these pastimes have got some connection to all these different places. So just the way we accept all the pastimes, we can also accept all these places without any ambiguity. So ultimately the conclusion, it is already late, we are just summarizing in 1-2 slides. So limited access from Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga. Based on these pastimes you can understand, the access is limited as time progresses. The shloka in 12th canto refers to the same thing. Tata chanu dinam dharma satyam saucham kshamadaya kalena balana rajan nankshanti ayu balam smriti. As time progresses, all these special qualities of humans gradually reduce. So their ability to control, their ability to rule, everything reduces. So thus, the planets and stars are seen to make us panchanga and predict the necessary events. Though the stars and planets and sun, moon, etc. they are so far, they are shown to us so that we can make our panchanga calculations, so that we can decide our festivals, muhurtas, all these things, so that we can guide our activities in our life, to guide our life events in a proper manner. So we can abstain some bad activities, you can follow with proper guidelines. So, but other places are not given access to us. If you see them also, what you will do? You will not do anything. By seeing them again and again, you want to go there. Unnecessarily, you will be bound in this material world. That's why Lord has not given access to us mercifully. But one thing what we can understand, specifically the kings of Satyayuga and Tretayuga, they are so pure, they were given access to entire Bhumandala. They were ruling the entire Bhumandala as their Lord Rama is the Tretayuga and King Amarish, etc. They are Satyayuga. But when it came to Dwapara Yuga, they could only rule only up to Bharatavarsha. Then Jambudvipa, they could rule only Jambudvipa. Yudhishthira Maharaj and Parikshit Maharaj, they ruled up to Jambudvipa. But as Kali Yuga progressed, people become so selfish, so the access is much reduced. So now we are having control only, not even whole Bharatavarsha, in that one portion of Bharatavarsha, one earth globe, that also no, we are not doing. Small portions we are having control over. So that is how we can understand. The purpose of this limited control is purification of existence. Purpose of giving access, not giving access, everything is purification of our existence only. Otherwise there is no other reason. So this is the purpose for which Bhagavatam was compiled. This is the purpose for which the creation and pastimes are described in Bhagavatam. Mayam Varnaya Tamusha Ishvasya Anumodata Ashnota Shraddhaya Nityam Mayatmana Muhyati. Okay, sorry for keeping you late. If somebody has any questions, we'll take and then we'll break for the lunch.